about. So easy.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Hi, hello. Okay, edit out the hi. I just want to do the hello, okay? Just do it, Marcus. Just do it. I'm Daryl, and this is the first time I'm having house over to my people. Ah, God. Cut that. All right, just cut that part. Before my friends show up, let me tell you a little bit about myself.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Thank God it's...
At the Grammy Roundtable with none other than Mr. Lou Ferrigno, the Incredible Hulk himself. How you doing, Lou?
Good. Good afternoon.
How has life been for you up to today?
Hi. Am I on the air? You beer mugs.
Hey, it's Beer Mug here.
So he's somebody you look and you look away because he's not doing nothing but the average stuff. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. There's nothing exciting about him.
That is amazing.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Still smoke weed? You party?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Sarah Abramson?
Roll another one.
You did it, Kevin.
Just like the other one.
You shut your mouth, okay?
This one seems to be about to quit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
Well, that's disappointing.
Roll. Roll another one.
I've never felt so equipped to do something in my entire life.
Just like the other one.
It's Chad, Mom.
Either she homeless or she got problems.
I don't have another cent.
We eat ribs and whatnot and listen to salsa music. You see what I'm coming from?
But don't bogart that joint.
What did you do?
Just pass it around.
Riveting radio.
But don't bogart that joint, my friend.
Squirrel.
Let's go have sex in a tree.
Our feature presentation.
All right. Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is a Friday morning, the 10th of May.
Hey, Lisa.
Hey, Bean.
How you doing?
Good.
Do we have another day of you telling us how we can't blow Mother's Day? Is that today?
Yes.
Whole another day?
One more day.
Putting
one
the pressure day on, making everybody feel like they're...
Don't no be way, a crappy kid.
There's no way
That's
they can
my
succeed.
Message.
That's Lisa's message.
No pressure for me, suckers. I'm doing fine. I'm skating through this week. Are you kidding me? I got nothing but time. Hey, we never did the sex dreams about your coworkers topic
no,
we were
didn't.
Talking about doing recently, right?
Nope.
No, and someone emailed the other day and wanted
yeah,
to
that's
if
what
we were going to do it.
Yeah, because I think we had made a mention of it. We have to do that. I very rarely have, and I have a story I want to get to here in a second, but I very, very rarely remember my dreams. I'm one of those people. I don't know why that is. But I did have a work dream last night.
Was that good?
Almost never happened. You were in it.
Oh, was that good?
We were all in it because we were having a Kevin and Bean party machine in my dream.
Really?
That's so funny.
That is a dream.
I know. It's crazy, right? We were having a Kevin and Bean party machine, and all I remember is that we kept playing Eddie Murphy's Boogie in Your Butt over and over again.
Like, right.
For whatever reason, that was the song that we just kept playing over and over. Because remember back in the days we used to do the party machine?
Yeah,
we just
sure.
kinda,
we'd play whatever. We'd play old TV themes and everything else, and then the man cracked down on us.
And this was one of the live party machines where we were out broadcasting from someplace and a bunch of people showed up and everybody was drinking. It was like 6 a.m. and it was super fun. Remember when it used to be fun?
Sure.
Well, when did we have sex in the dream?
We didn't.
What?
Well, what kind of?
You were the lamest dreamer. You have a work dream and we didn't have sex?
Nobody had sex. It was just a party machine with Boogie in Your Butt.
Yeah. Terrible dream.
Yeah.
Well, I made the association
because
I thought of sex dream and that made me think of work dream. So.
Yeah, but
except that you didn't have a sex dream.
No, I just had a work dream.
Sex dream and work dream are interchangeable.
Yes. It should be a work sex dream.
Right, it's the same thing.
I apologize that there was no sexy time. It was just boogie in your butt. Well, there's some in your, at least there's some in your butt, Lisa. There's something
well,
for you.
That's true. It's something.
At least. All right, let me do this real fast because I thought this was interesting. I don't know why the public policy polling company decided that they would do this, but they called 571 voters nationwide on May 6th and 7th, so just last weekend. And they asked them a bunch of questions about music. And I thought this was interesting. And I looked at the breakdown. The breakdown is it's about 20% under 30, in case you're wondering, Kevin. Yeah. 25% 30 to 45, 40% 46 to 65, and 20% older than 65. So it's spread out pretty much along, just every demographic is represented.
Right, but it'll skew older.
A little bit older, okay. Absolutely, yeah. And they were asking favorable or unfavorable opinion on a number of musical artists. Who do you think? Now, all artists, they gave them a list of like 10 artists, and then they asked them to rank. Do you have a favorable or an unfavorable position opinion of these artists? Who do you think the most favorable pop artist would be and the least favorable?
Farrah Abramson.
It's an excellent guess, but no.
Least favorable, Justin.
Justin Bieber.
Justin Bieber is not the least favorable, but very close. He was his unfavorability did stretch across all partisan lines, though. A majority of Democrats, Republicans, and Independents all reported negative views of the singer. He was 20% favorable, 54% unfavorable, right. and then the rest didn't
strong.
Have an opinion.
Number one would be Chris Brown.
Chris Brown, Lisa, oh, good. So good, nice. So good. 13% favorable, 57% unfavorable. In between was Lady Gaga, by the way, 29% favorable, 50% unfavorable. The most popular, in case you're curious, would be Taylor Swift, Adele, and Beyonce. It's not an FB. I don't have anything to do with this. And Beyonce. Those were the three most popular. And Justin Timberlake. Those were the four most popular, the ones who had the best popularity ratings.
Yeah, I totally can. I can see that.
They also asked who they'd look most like to see as president on the list of those artists.
Out of those people?
Yes.
Adele.
Lisa, once again, you are the American people.
Wow.
They just shouldn't bother doing polls like this. They should just call Lisa and save time. Adele was number one on that list, as a matter of fact.
Adele tells it like it is.
That's true.
She's not even an American, by the way, while we're giving her the presidency.
I know.
I was surprised by this. They asked favorable and unfavorable opinions on different kinds of music. Now, tell me that people weren't just lying to sound smart when 77% had a favorable impression of classical music.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Yeah, there's some lying going on there, but that does skew much older. But I mean, not as much as the other answers.
I mean, they're maybe what they mean is I don't hate it, but they certainly don't listen to it.
Right.
Right?
That's right.
77% favorable. Honestly, that surprised me. Country was next at 71%, jazz at 71%, pop music 59%, R&B 58%, rock music 65%, by the way. So those were the most popular. The least popular forms of music were dubstep. And I guess that's it. I guess just dubs and rap. And rap music. And rap music, by the way, was also largely unfavorable on this list, too. So anyway, I just thought that was interesting. And in case you're wondering, the world does continue to turn on and hate Justin Bieber. So apparently all is well with
the world. We do seem to be making progress in that fight.
Yes, that's good news.
Well, he's doing more than his share to help out, too, by the way.
That's true. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin DeBeecho, shall we?
Wow, you are really good at wasting time.
Thank you. We are going to talk to Bob Saget today. He's coming in studio.
Bob Saget!
I love Bob.
I always love having Bob in. We have the movie beat today because it's Friday.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be Mr. Movie Phone himself. The great Russ Leatherman joins us today.
We have one of the stars of Star Trek Into Darkness, Benedict Cumberbatch, on
awesome.
The show today. We have your tickets for the K-Rock Weenie Roast and backstage passes as well
Sweet.
Today. And we're going to do some call-in topic in the 6 o'clock hour if you did something heroic. You were heroic.
Oh.
You don't necessarily have to be a hero, but you did something like the guy next door in Cleveland who went mm-hmm. over and heard the girl screaming and kicked the door down, whatever the legend is, which grows by the day. But so we're going to take your calls coming up about that in the 6 o'clock hour. We'll take a break and come back with the showbiz beat.
Dan Bova from Maxim Magazine, he's the editor-in-chief over there, is going to try to explain to us how the decision was made that Miley Cyrus was the hottest woman in the world. That's coming up right after the top
Which
of the
is
hour.
Just,
so good luck
really,
with that, Dan.
Yeah, that's really just absurd.
No one can explain it.
It's not even one of the... Like, there are so many women you can argue are in the top 20. Any of them could be number one.
Yes.
Any given year. You know who couldn't be? Miley Cyrus. She's like the only one.
Well, he's got some splaining to do, or at least an apology. So we'll talk to Dan coming up right after the top of the hour. First, though, let's talk about a very big weekend. By the way, Ralph Garman's out for a couple days filming a movie. So we're taking some turns filling in for showbiz. Our friend Ted Stryker is going to be in later on today. And Kevin Bean, Blacklister number one, and Nell Rivers is going to be joining us in an hour to do the showbiz beat as well. This is a very important time for TV fans and people in Hollywood because this is the upfronts where the announcements are starting to be made about what next season will look like on your TV. The fall lineups are being announced.
Right.
And you never hear about the CBS television network because apparently everything they put on just works. Apparently they're so far and ahead the number one network, by the way. The average viewership for CBS shows is 12 million. The next highest network is ABC at almost 8 million.
Wow.
That's how big CBS is.
I didn't realize that.
And that's why you almost never hear about their shows getting canceled because they just don't put very many bad shows on. So they've got, they just got a solid lineup every night. The last show to be renewed for CBS, though, was announced yesterday, is Criminal Minds because a couple of cast members who I've never heard of, AJ Cook and Kirsten Vengeance, were holding out for equal pay to what their male stars, that's the show with Thomas Gibson and some others on it, they were holding out for pay, and CBS gave them the pay. So that show has now been renewed, and it's coming back full strength. That was the only announcement from CBS yesterday. NBC had a lot of work to do, as you can imagine, because we know how tough their primetime lineup has been in recent years. Thank God our prayers have been answered, and Whitney has finally been canceled. Ladies and gentlemen.
That's a shame, because she's a funny comedian.
She's great.
Show wasn't, but she's great.
Yeah.
1600 Penn has also been canceled. I never saw it, but knew enough from the commercials to know that it was terrible.
I saw 10 minutes of it and realized, wow!
That was the one with Jenna Elfman, right?
Yes.
It was almost bad enough to be good, but not quite.
Wow.
Not quite.
Guys with Kids was canceled. You remember that one?
No.
Up All Night has finally been canceled, which was not a surprise because remember we already heard that Christina Applegate had decided she wasn't coming back once they revamped the show during this most recent season. So that's gone too. Good news, Parks and Recreation has been renewed for a sixth season. I think that is, now that 30 Rock is gone, I think Parks and Rec is the funniest show on television.
What about Modern Family?
Oh, that's on ABC. I don't think we've gotten there yet.
Okay.
They have also picked up a new comedy based on the movie About a Boy. That's going to be next season. There's a new Sean Hayes show. You remember Sean from Will and Grace, called Sean Saves the World. There's a new Parker Posey show. A couple of other new shows with people I don't know on NBC. So they're at least going to try some new things. Kevin, great news for you. Nikita is coming back.
I love it.
You're the CW only Network? One I know who watches
I know.
That show.
I don't run into other people that watch it either, ever.
The Carrie Diaries has also been picked up on the CW, and they have some new shows scheduled. This is a bizarre lineup. I mean, the CW is trying something different. You got to give them credit. They're not just doing a show set in a diner, right? They've got a show called Reign, R-E-I-G-N, a period drama about Mary Queen of Scots when she was a 15-year-old teenager. Huh. They've got a show called Star-Crossed about a group of humanoid aliens trying to integrate into high school. They've got a show called Tomorrow People about a group of young people who represent the next stage in human evolution.
Right.
I mean, they're going for it,
they
right?
They really are.
At least I think ABC is today. I think they're going to make their announcements today. But there's no question, obviously, that Modern Family is going to be coming back.
I was just questioning the funniest show on TV.
Ah, interesting.
I love Parks and Rec, but I would pick Modern Family.
Modern Family's got to be in that conversation, absolutely. Yeah.
And one with the people that we just had on who did the stuff all the time with the that show's good as well.
Sure.
Nina DeBrev. What's wrong with your bell?
Hold on a sec. There we go.
Sat on it.
Oh, you gotta clean that out. Nina DeBrev and Ian Somerhalder are apparently splitting up.
Aww.
After 3 years of being
together. They're such a pretty couple.
Us Weekly says they'll continue to work together on The Vampire Diaries
and
are
quote,
consummate professionals.
I'm sure they
will. That's awesome. I wish I could be a consummate professional.
You know, it's funny. I saw that story yesterday and I thought, for regular people, if you lose Nina DeBrev, or if you're a lady and you lose Ian Somerhalder as your significant other, you're devastated. But for these two, once that news gets out, there's 100 people just as hot, just lined up, ready to date you.
Yes.
Yeah, that's
They'll
true.
Be
right?
Fine.
You don't have to worry about it. You're going to be fine. We made reference yesterday to the American Idol shakeup, and now it is Randy Jackson confirmed yesterday that he is gone after 12 years. He's the only original judge left, of course. He said, yo, 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 to put all the speculation to rest. After 12 years of judging on American Idol, I have decided it is time to leave after this season. So in other words, you can't fire me, I quit. basically is what he said.
All right, good.
It was also reported yesterday that Mariah Carey, Nicki Minaj, and Keith Urban are all also out. All four, by the way, have options to come back for another season, but Fox doesn't want them. The network, according to TheWrap.com, apparently got tired of the big paychecks, bad attitudes, and the bad ratings. The only person who will be back next season is Ryan Seacrest, who, by the way, contributes nothing to that show.
But makes a lot of money.
Yeah, he makes a lot of money, yet he's the one that they're bringing back. So Ryan Seacrest is in, and it's going to be all new judges next season from top to bottom. Be interesting to see if it's too late to save that show.
You know what Ryan does for that show? He's just not overtly offensive.
He's not offensive, yeah.
He just sort of keeps things moving.
He does his job.
Right.
But in a world where Carson Daly exists, I don't get it. I don't get it even for a second.
And I'll also say, to give Ryan a little bit of credit, is he doesn't seem to cause any trouble either. He seems to be dependable, and he shows up, and you never hear about him, you know, holding out for more money or being late. Like, you know, you do see both of those things with other judges.
You don't hear those things.
You say it happens.
Well, something in my throat.
And let me do one more story just because I love this follow-up so much. Yesterday we told you how Billy Joe Armstrong had talked about Psy, the Gangnam Style guy, and said that he's the herpes of music.
Right.
Once you think it's gone, it comes back. He wrote on his Instagram account, hashtag herpes, hashtag flare up, hashtag please go away. Well, somebody talked to Psy about it. He was doing an interview with Fuse, and they asked him for his opinion on what Billy Joe had said to him. He first had to ask what herpes was, and then he brushed it off and said, I kind of like it. It's cool. He said, I'm like herpes that keeps coming back. I think it's really cool. Thank you.
Maybe was there a translation problem?
Maybe he didn't understand that.
But who looks better in this exchange now, Billy Joe Armstrong or Psy?
Gotta say Psy.
Probably Psy. Because he wasn't being petty.
Yeah.
And what does Billy Joe Armstrong have to gain, by the way, by ragging on little Psy, who's just out just making people happy? Why does he care? Right?
I doubt he does much. I don't know. That's a good question. I mean, you said it was on his Instagram, so it wasn't like he was being asked about Psy.
Right. Yeah. Right. He just volunteered the information. Hey, that thing that you guys enjoy, it sucks.
Stop it. Stop enjoying it.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Well, I don't know why we're even working today, because he's just at God's right hand. Bono, ladies and gentlemen, turning 53 years old today. Bono, happy birthday. Donovan, very famous singer-songwriter from the 60s. You know his songs, Mellow Yellow, Sunshine Superman, a whole bunch of others. 67 years old today. Young MC, not so young anymore, 46 years old today. Kenan Thompson from SNL is 35. Model Linda Evangelista turns 48 years old today. And Homer Simpson's birthday is today, Kevin.
How about that? He's a cartoon.
Homer's
not real.
According to the series, though, they have worked that into their scripts throughout the years. He would be 57 years old today. So get yourself a beer and a donut and happy birthday, Homer Simpson. And that is the Showbiz Beat.
I think he's a homosexual.
Nope, not Homer. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 24 minutes after 6.
That was a very heroic thing you did there, Kevin, playing the alien ant farm in 2013. I want to give you some credit for being brave enough. A lot of little boys would go, oh, they'll make fun of me. Oh, I won't be cool anymore. But you went for it, man.
Take it easy.
You hit that button. You put that song on the radio.
And not in an ironic way.
Where people could hear it. Hey, you did that.
Hey, Bean, I got, just so you know, I didn't have a chance to tell you this off the air. I did get my life threatened by our music director yesterday.
Oh, really?
Really? Why? Did we make fun of something, or did we just not play something?
We didn't play something, and I was mocking her. I was like, that was really funny how you guys put Third Eye Blind on the schedule.
Right.
And then she said, I'm going to kill you. And I said, like, you put it on there like you were serious.
We're doing the best we can. Speaking of heroic activity, our man Charles Ramsey is in the news. I love him. And by the way, I know that now they've done background investigations and found out that he had all sorts of trouble in his past. He'd been to jail and he had drugs and past child support and all sorts of things like that. But he seems like he's cleaned his life up. That was all 10 years ago. And now he just seems like a genuinely decent guy.
Let me just say this about that. You don't always get to pick who the hero's going to be. If there's somebody that's there and he can get them out after 10 years of captivity, I don't care what he's done in the past. I mean, I shouldn't put him on a pedestal.
No, but he did a really great thing.
He did a good thing, and he was the guy that was there, and he did it. Yeah. So give him credit for that. You don't got to do a background search and find out all the bad stuff he's done.
It does seem irrelevant to the story. Now, Charles Ramsey, for those who don't recognize the name, he's the guy who turned out to be living next door to that hell house in Cleveland where those three women were held for 10 years. And he, and by the way, another guy that Lisa and I were talking about off air yesterday who's not getting any credit is the second guy who was there to help break the door down. And we don't see him on the news, at least on our news, because he doesn't speak English. He's Spanish speaking. And his name is Angel Cordero. We should give him some credit too, because he was also on the street at the same time as Mr. Ramsey. And the two of them are the ones who pulled the door open and managed to get those girls, that the you know, Amanda Berry out. And then the police were called, and then they went in and got the other two girls. So he's equally a hero for being in the right place, right time. We want to take your calls if you've ever been in a situation to do something heroic. Like Charles Ramsey, he was just coming back from McDonald's. He wasn't anticipating. It's not like he got up in the morning and said, how can I save a life today? How can I rescue a kidnapped victim?
Yeah, he's not a heroic dude.
Right. He was just in the right place at the right time. And if you have ever been in that situation where you've been able to do something like that, like Mr. Ramsey did, we want to hear about it at 1-800-520-1067. Give us a call. I don't even, I mean, I'm not even comfortable with the word hero being used here, because honestly, I believe that most people in his situation would have done the exact same thing.
I think so too.
A hero to me is somebody who does something extraordinary or dangerous or something that most people wouldn't do. But I mean, I think if any of us, maybe not Beer Mug, but if any of us were walking down the street and there were a lady who was, you know, had a door pushed open, was screaming for help, I think any of us would have gone up and helped.
I'd like to think that's true, too, except for yesterday when we started talking about this topic. You did something heroic. None of us could come up with an example.
Well, because we just haven't.
I couldn't. Lisa couldn't. No. Bean couldn't.
Only because you haven't been in a situation. This could have just as easily been you if these women turned out to have been kidnapped and held in your neighborhood. It just wasn't. You have to be. I mean, most people never get the opportunity to do something heroic just because they don't come across it. I don't think it makes you a bad person. It's just we haven't had the opportunity to do it yet.
But the difference between you and me is I'm usually on the opposite side of that. I'm usually the one causing trouble.
Right. Now, I had forgotten this story, Kevin, until you brought it up off air. But none of us, but a former producer of the Kevin and Bean Show, Lightning, was involved in a story like this where he kind of was heroic, right?
Well, sort of, yeah. But in his own way, he's so funny. He saw a car accident. And a car kind of flipped over, and there was an old couple that was behind the wheel and in the passenger seat. Mm-hmm. And he pulled over to make sure they were okay. And the reason we remember it is because of what he said. He got out of his car, and he walked up to the old people. He was like, hey, is everybody okay? And they were like, no, I don't. You know, we don't know. We might be hurt. And Lightning said, yeah, I work for a radio station. I was going to be going into rocking and rolling tonight, but there's going to be no rocking and rolling tonight. I'm going to stay here with you. Now, granted, he could have left.
Right.
He did the right thing, but what a douchebag thing to say.
I know.
There's going to be no rocking and rolling tonight.
Did the old couple go, hey, you go ahead and go to work. We'll wait for the next person to come along, and they'll pull us out of the car. We're fine not hanging out with you. All right, so 1-800-520-1067. You were in the right place, right time to do something heroic. You were, for a day, Charles Ramsey. We want to hear from you. Let's take one call real quick. That's the wrong button. Completely the wrong button.
How does that work in, Bean? How does Hitler work in?
Hold on a second. What am I doing here? I lost my phone, guys. All right, here we go. Let's go to Rich. Rich is on line 3. You'll get it started.
Hitler.
Right. I don't know why this Hitler has to be in a conversation.
Hey, Rich.
Good morning.
You did something heroic.
Yes, I did. How are y'all doing today? Lisa May. Hello,
Rich. What did you do?
I was working in the backyard one morning, and I heard a young lady screaming for her life, and I guess an ex-boyfriend was strangling her and beating her. And,
wow.
I jumped over and grabbed him off her and started to let him beat me. And he got away. The police got him. And
was your plan to let him beat you, or did you think I could take him?
Well, he was about half my age, twice my size. And, yeah.
So you knew you were in for it. You knew you were in for it once you.
That makes it more heroic.
It does make it more heroic.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's easy to break up a fight if you could totally beat up the dude. But I mean, you put yourself in the line of fire. So what happened? Did the police get him? Did they arrest him?
Eventually, yes.
Good.
And, really, and I hope done. I hope the lady repaid your heroism.
To this day, my life has been so great, the subsequent domino effect. And even to this point, if I win this, I'll be going on my birthday.
If you win this, you'll
this
be going.
This is not a contest.
Yeah, this isn't a contest.
That's what I mean. It's bad to want to cash in on this, and it's to tell this story, it's like, I don't, this is, no.
Okay, all right.
Okay, all right, well said.
Thank you very much.
I don't know. You're a hero, Rich. You are.
I'm glad Rich's job wasn't to talk that guy out of strengthening that one, because he wouldn't have been able to do it. All right, great call to get us started here, Rich. Michael, James, Tom, Charlie, everybody, please hang on. We'll take your calls when we return. 1-800-520-1067. You got to be a hero. We'll talk to you next on the Kevin Bean Sean Kidd. Bob Saget joins us on the program later on today, and Benedict Cumberbatch coming up in about 20 minutes or so, one of the stars of the new Star Trek film. That's on the way here on K-Rock. Right now, though, we're talking about You Were a Hero for a Day. Right place, right time to maybe save a life, maybe rescue somebody, some damsel in distress. It's interesting that it's all dudes calling. What are the ladies doing? Just walking on by with these trouble? Come on.
We're let's screaming, go to, help me, handsome man.
Charlie, he's on line four. He's got his story of being a hero. Hi, Charlie. Welcome to the Kevin Bean Show. What's going on?
Hey, good morning, guys. Hi, Lisa May.
Hello, Charlie.
What'd you do?
Well, I was I'm a tow truck driver. I was working over there in the city of Malibu, and I was just driving down PCH, going, you know, just taking a drive because it was I wasn't getting no calls. So while I was driving, I saw this this old lady had like a Porsche Cayenne car, mm-hmm. and she had the hood open. I saw this lady just staring at the hood. Well, I was driving, buddy, and I saw on the bottom of the car a big old fireball popped out. Like,
you saw her car was on fire and she didn't see it?
The bottom of the car, yes. The bottom of the car was on fire. And I'm like, lady, what the heck? You know, so I just pulled up behind her. Lady, your car's on fire. Come on, Nikki, like, get in my tow truck. And she looked at me like, what are you talking about? And like, I just literally grabbed her arm, dragged her into my tow truck. I grabbed the fire extinguisher and I tried to go down there and I went on the bottom of the car and tried to turn it off. But I saw the flame going towards the gas tank, and I ran out of my fire extinguisher ran out. So what I did, jumped in my tow truck, backed up at least about, you know, a quarter mile and blocked traffic. And then good thing I saw a sheriff, and I told him, hey, that car's about to catch on fire. And he's seen it, and this thing knows.
Full service hero. The guy did everything. Oh, yeah. He stopped traffic.
So did it blow up like it does in the movies?
No, it didn't blow up. It just the engine compartment just caught on fire, and not even like minutes, the whole car was completely. In fact, I didn't even for nothing like that. Then the fire department came, and
how about and, did the old woman call 911 and tell them a Raiders fan kidnapped her?
No.
Okay. Thank you, Charlie.
Now that's a thank you very much.
That's a story.
That's a story. That's a hero because it's one thing to drive by and say, "Hey, lady, your car's on fire." It's another thing to go to the extraordinary lengths that he did. That's very, very impressive. Let's go to Tom. Tom is on line five. He's up next here on the Kevin Bean Show. Hi, Tom. You had a heroic day in the sun. What happened?
I teach PE, and we were in the swimming pool, and the lifeguard was reading a book.
Oh, excellent.
And a couple of girls started drowning, and I looked up and realized that he was still just reading his book. So I had to throw down the stuff in my hands and jumped in the pool and pulled both of the girls and got them to the side. And the lifeguard never left the tower and never got out to come and help.
How about that?
Just like wave to you. Good
what
job.
What the hell? Nice job. I'm really into chapter 8.
He really was.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
I'm not sure right. I got him fired the next day.
Nicely
wow.
done.
Wow. That's a dick move, but thank you, Tom. Appreciate it.
It's not a dick move. The dude's reading a book while they're drowning.
And excellent use of the word drowning, too, by the way. Which I enjoy about.
All right,
let's try James on line two. Hey, I'm not saying I'm glad. I mean, I'm glad he was there to save those girls. Believe me.
They were drowning.
They were drowning, right. James is up next. He's on line two. Welcome to the Kevin Bean Show. What's going on?
Hey, now.
You were a hero. How?
Well, I was driving down a pretty busy street in the city of Whittier, and I was driving with one of my friends, and we see this baby walking down the sidewalk, and we were like, the heck is that baby walking down the sidewalk?
How old was the baby, like three?
No, probably less, probably like two. I mean, barely, right. Oh, kind of like stumbling, walking.
Right.
And, so I see there's cars driving by it, and thinking, like, these cars aren't even stopping, so I pull into the lane to block right as the baby walks into the street.
Dude.
And I picked up the baby, and my friend ran out and was knocking on doors, trying to see whose baby it was, and then 5 minutes later, this, like, crack whore lady comes running out, like, where's my baby?
Oh,
and
then
we gave the baby, because the baby did look like her, and then after we were like, why didn't we call the cops? Like, not even thinking, but still baffled that there was a baby just wandering down the street.
Yeah, I can imagine it. That would be confusing, and then you'd think back over your moves and go, I'm not sure giving the baby back was the right idea.
Hey, but it's better than not stopping. Agreed. And having that baby walk out into traffic. Nice job, man. Thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Eric. Eric's on line 7. He is up next here on the Kevin Bean Show. We're talking about you got to be a hero for a day, like our friend Charles Ramsey in Cleveland, living next door to those ladies who had been kidnapped for 10 years. You got a kidnapping angle to your story, right, Eric?
That's correct. Good morning, and good morning, Lisa May.
Good morning.
I was driving down the street with a friend of mine, and we had the windows down. It was a pretty nice day. In the beautiful city of Santa Ana, and we heard a woman screaming, and we thought it was coming from the car. We drove up to the car and couldn't see a woman in the car at all, but we kept hearing the screaming, and we saw a gentleman in the front. We called 911, and we were put on hold. So we started following the car. She was screaming.
Your call is important to us. Please hold.
I'm sorry. We are experiencing heavier than normal call volume.
You know what? It happens all the time. But we followed the gentleman, and he ended up pulling into a Del Taco. And we confronted the man, and next thing you know, she popped out of the trunk. She was a prostitute, and the gentleman that had her was a John, and he had kidnapped her after she got into the car.
Holy crap!
We were surrounded by Santa Ana police, and it was pretty impressive.
Wow. So did either of them get arrested?
Actually, I think they both got arrested.
They arrested the woman in the trunk?
What I was wondering. So you tried to be a hero, and you ended up getting her arrested.
She had warrants, and obviously he was arrested for kidnapping, so.
I'd rather be arrested than kidnapped.
I guess so. All right. Thank you very much for the call. Unfortunately, we're going to have to leave it there. But, wow, look how heroic our listeners are. Look at Michael and Rudy and Marty and Scott and Steven. So many calls we didn't have a chance to get to.
We have none of that going on here.
Right.
What's happening? This warning now, turn your radios down just a little bit.
Yes.
Just turn them down a notch.
Ladies and gentlemen, one of our longtime listeners of the Kevin Bean Show and a good friend of the program, Anel Rivers, joins us here in studio on the Kevin Bean Show.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Taking his turn filling in this hour for Ralph Garman, who's out for a couple days filming a movie. Anel's going to be doing the showbiz beat for us this hour. Now, we don't have the paparazzi camera click sound effect that we usually use for Ralph. We got something special for Anel, right?
Yes, sir. Yeah, yes, sir.
He requires you, Bean, saying,
oh, girl, holla.
That's right. It. That's all
so
I
that's
need.
How we know that's it's in between just, stories time.
Just that and orange chicken.
All right.
You don't have orange chicken.
No. What? I'm out of here. Yes. I'm done. Which, you know, this brings me. I touched on this briefly on Twitter. I just wanted to, before I get started in the show.
Okay.
You know, I like to do my public service announcements here. So.
All right.
I just want to make a quick one to any employees of Panda Express.
Yes.
Who may be listening. Okay. Uh-huh. When a large black man walks into your establishment, don't just go straight for the orange chicken. Okay, like, when I walk in the door, okay, I walk in there like, welcome to Panda Express. And before they even finish their statement, they already got the ladle in the orange chicken.
Right.
Okay, look.
So you're upset that they don't let you order it first?
I mean, look.
Are you going to order it?
Orange chicken.
Well, look. Do you get the orange
that
chicken?
That is beside the point.
That's not beside my point.
And it's cold because, like, I'm telling you, like, here's the deal. And, because I feel like I've been offended, I, like, you know, can I get a sample of the teriyaki? And he don't even take his hand off the ladle. He keeps it there like a pivot foot in basketball, just, like, just stab it. It's like, look, we all know where this is going, okay? My point is you signed up for this dance. You know what I'm saying? You knew the job was dangerous when you took
At
it.
At least do you the courtesy of the suggestion
of
that you
it.
That yeah. you might ask for something else
I
other than the orange
chicken.
That's
all. Yeah, it's a white family. The little kids are trying a little mushroom and the kung pao beef and the spicy shrimp.
Have you thought that it's not the color of your skin, but you,
no,
they recognize?
This happens at every Panda
really?
Express. Yeah. For the record, I frequent Panda Express.
Really?
Been
all.
I'm just saying, man, when I walk in the door, you know, you don't have to just make a beeline for the orange chicken. You know what I'm saying?
On another topic, what do you normally order?
I mean, that's beside. I don't want to get into all that right now.
Is it orange chicken?
It may be.
Time
okay.
for the showbiz beat.
Showbiz
beat. Girl, holla!
First up, man, let me tell y'all something. Hey, have y'all heard about this new club, man, called BFC?
BFC.
BFC, man. It's about 30 minutes from Coachella, man, out there in the middle of the desert, man.
No.
BFC, Betty Ford Clinic.
Oh,
man. It is popping off.
I didn't realize that was going off.
Oh, man. Ain't no party like a Betty Ford party because a Betty Ford party don't stop. Let me tell you, man. Okay, first of all, you know Lindsay Lohan is up in there. You
sure.
know, she's doing a little tiny time. Okay, well, guess she's got herself a new friend to party with. Yes, Brooke Mueller.
Oh,
A.K.A. Charlie right. Sheen's
Charlie
baby Sheen mama.
X.
Yes, A.K.A. Cracky McColorado. That girl, boy. Let me tell you something. That girl, she likes cocaine.
Really?
Oh, she likes cocaine more than her children, apparently.
Aww.
Look, she likes drugs so much that Charlie Sheen doesn't want to be around her anymore. That's how much she likes drugs.
How messed up are you?
Yeah.
So, you know, it's going off in there, man. Apparently, they're in the same wing down there at Betty Ford. They've already exchanged pleasantries, man. It is going down at the BFC. The only thing missing from this party is Amanda Bynes.
Yeah.
I'm telling you.
She'll be there soon enough.
Oh, man. It's like a crackhead Charlie's Angels, man. They're going to have Charles Ramsey sit in a chair with a speakerphone. It'd be beautiful. I got to get me a ticket to the BFC.
Holla!
Okay, next up, man. On a lighter note or darker note, you know, rest in peace to my boy Chris Kelly from Crisscross. You know, he made everybody jump. They recently had his funeral, okay, in Atlanta. And I don't know if you guys have seen the footage of the funeral. But Jermaine Dupri showed up in a beautiful, beautiful black suit. I mean, looking great, except he had his pants on backwards.
Well, he learned from them.
Man.
That's what you're supposed to do.
No. You didn't, look, I don't care if Chris Kelly was known for wearing clown hats. You don't show up to the man's funeral. You know, with your pants. Come on, son. Like, you grown-ass man. You going to show up to a man's funeral with your pants on backwards.
That was a tribute.
Zipper all kicked off in your ass. What's wrong with you? Look.
Come on.
All I'm saying is that when I die, man, if y'all show up to my funeral screaming, girl, holla, my mother's going to punch you in the face.
Girl, holla!
Please believe that, okay?
It's funny you would think we would come to your funeral.
Hey, right, yeah. Well, I'm just saying, somebody got to dance on my grave.
I'm just kidding.
Next up, yo, check this out. Terrence Howard is the man.
Why is he the man?
He's the man. Okay, now, first of all, Terrence Howard, he's a survivor of domestic violence.
Oh,
I don't know if you guys remember, his ex-wife beat him up pretty bad. You know, Michelle Gant, she put them hands on him, you know what I mean? So, make a long story short, man, Terrence Howard, his divorce is finally final. Check this out. This is Terrence Howard's divorce settlement, okay?
All right.
He gets to keep the lion's share of their property, including two houses in Pennsylvania and all 25 of his bank accounts. 25 bank accounts.
Who has 25 bank accounts?
I don't know, but it's a brother. So if you got 25 bank accounts, please believe 23 of them are overdrawn. So, you know what I'm saying?
Wow.
That is somebody who's trying to hide some money from someone.
Yeah,
that's for
I'm
sure.
saying, man. He got 25 bank accounts. And check this out. Here's the real win. He has to pay his ex-wife $5,800 a month in spousal support for the next 3 years. Now, for those of you playing the home game, that is $69,600 a year, or a total of $208,800.
That seems like he got off really, really easy.
I pay, man, look, I don't want to get into specifics here, okay?
But let's do.
I'm going to just say, I pay my wife, little ex-wife, a little something-something. You know what I'm saying? Every month.
Right.
And I think Terrence Howard might have got off better than me, man. I don't know who his lawyer is, man, but that man got off. So, but the good news is she does get to keep her bicycle. So that's
well,
little,
all right.
You know, but man, 25 bank accounts. Yeah, man. Somebody need to check Terrence Howard's
that's crazy.
Transaction record, man. I'm telling you. Somebody's slanging dope.
Holla!
Next up, I got some celebrity birthdays. I want to send a special celebrity birthday shout out, okay? It's a personal thing.
Okay.
To my niece, okay, Iman Rogers Timberlake. She turns 20. Okay, one more year, Iman. We can do this. We can party, go to Vegas, get a cracking girl. Let's get it going. Okay, next up, I got ESPN sportscaster Chris Berman. Okay, he's 58 years old.
All right.
Okay, boom. And Bono of U2. Bono, first of all, it says he's 53. I don't believe that. Bono has got to be at least 80 because it seems like he's been in the news
it
every day
seem
of my
like
life.
He's
since
been
I was
53
born.
Since you were born.
Well, I mean, he was an adult in U2 when they first came out in the 70s. So that does seem like he's a little bit younger.
I'm damn near 40. Okay, that's all I want. I'm just leave it there. And Bono has been
so
famous.
Bono is 10 years older than you?
Yeah,
I doubt it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I don't even sound right. You know what I mean? We got drummer Danny Carey of Tool is 52. Young MC, who, if he doesn't change his name before the end of this day, he's 46 years old. We got Richard Patrick of Filter is 45. Kenan Thompson of Kenan and Kel is 35. And I don't know if you guys remember your boy Donovan with the Season of the Witch. You know, he's, you remember Donovan?
Bean was very excited
come
about
on,
him.
Man. Basically, it's like
a lot of great songs.
It's like Bob Dylan Light. You know what I mean? He's like he's like the Diet Coke version.
Sounds Mellow Yellow? You know Mellow Yellow, Kevin?
That's oh, yeah, I've heard of that.
Season
I've heard of that.
Of the Witch.
Bob Dylan light, though, does not inspire me.
Bob, you don't like Bob Dylan?
No.
I thought all people, white people like Bob Dylan.
No.
Not, everything I know is a lie.
Incorrect. I do like orange chicken, though.
Oh, man, don't get me started on orange chicken, man. Yo, man, that's your boy Nut Rivers, man, with the show Biz.
Look, I don't mind playing the parody, but I just don't want Benedict to hear it, because I don't think he'll come on our show afterwards.
Oh, you're afraid this will tip to what a poor program he's joining?
Yeah. He's going to go, I don't want to be on that show. So can I stop it as soon as he gets on the phone?
Sure.
We have Benedict Cumberbatch coming on in just a second to talk about Star Trek first. Kevin Bean are really dumb, really bad and not awesome. I'd rather listen to my phone. Yeah, their show's really, really sucky. Sarah Abramson.
Pretty dope, man. Your mug with the Library of Congress calls later today. Respectfully,
Oh my!
What?
Kevin, who's your girlfriend?
Bobcat leaves Gemma Earth. I can't say your last
Give
name.
Give it another guy.
What an idiot! Kevin Bean are really dumb, really bad, and not awesome.
I'd rather listen to my phone. Yeah, their show's really, really sucky. Woohoo! Alright, he's in there. What? Who's that? Huh? Is that what we just talked to? What's it on?
Yeah, what's up? Here's. Kevin Bean are really dumb, really bad. George St. Pierre seems like he's been trying to take the top road, and you're special on BS. What's the abbreviation you're specially you're doing on tonight? Kevin Bean are really dumb, really bad, and not awesome. I'd rather listen to my phone. Yeah, their show's really, really sucky. See, it's a good thing. That's good old personal. You know what I'm saying? Leonardo DiCaprio.
I'm seriously asking this for real now. What's wrong with you people? Why do you listen?
That's an excellent
question. I'm happy. Don't get me wrong. I'm happy that you have bad taste and listen.
It makes
why?
Them feel better about themselves.
Is that it?
Yes.
And I think that Omar takes special glee in putting those together.
Oh,
because
he does.
He's one of those guys who knows his bosses are idiots, and he's sitting in the other room just seething all the time. So yeah. It's a little bit of a way for him to get his aggression out.
Although he's in the other room laughing hysterically. He's working on something for Beer Mug.
Oh, boy.
Like, oh, really? Highlights or something like that. So,
All right. Russ Leatherman, Mr. Movie Phone himself, joins us in a few minutes to talk about this weekend's new releases, including The Great Gatsby. But we're already into next week because next Thursday, one of the most anticipated movies of 2013 is coming out, Star Trek Into Darkness. Benedict Cumberbatch is the bad guy. Apparently, we're going to hate him this time next week. But right now, we like him, and we're welcoming him to the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Benedict. How are you, my friend?
Hello, nice to be hated.
Well, you are about to be hated because we don't want to see anything bad happen to our precious Captain Kirk. Being in a Star Trek movie, that has to be something that, you know, when you're a little kid, who doesn't want to be in Star Trek? This must be a dream come true a little bit.
It's terrific, and it's wonderful. You're absolutely right. He's such an iconic character, Kirk, and Spock, the whole team of them. I realized I was a fan of it when I saw J.J.'s reboot and got really sentimental about the origin story and all of them coming together for the first time in the last film in 2009. So, yeah, I give you permission to start hating now. I hate me as well. Because,
Tell us about working with
those guys to start well.
Tell us about working with J.J. Abrams, what he's like as a director.
He's just extraordinary. He's an utter inspiration on every level as a human being, as a talent and a professional, as a director. You really want to go the extra mile for JJ. He does everything with lightness and good humor, and also with the enthusiasm of somebody who still loves going to movies. And that's kind of in a 10-year-old is still alive in him. And it's just, it's a pretty amazing experience getting to work with him. It was a joy.
Forgive me for not knowing this, but of course we all grew up in the United States with Star Trek being on, you know, after school. It was in syndication by the time we were old enough to be watching, and, you know, it has never been off the TV. Is it similar in the UK? Is it a show that has been popular and on the air for the last 40 years over there as well?
Yeah, it's huge in the UK. I think that's what's brilliant about it. While you guys own it, because it began with you, it's a story that transposes any kind of transcends, I should say, any kind of barriers or nationalities or
right.
colors or creeds, or, you know, that's the whole point of it. It's about the universal idea of what it is to be a better person and exist all together. And whether it was the first interracial kiss or these fantastic kind of rich morality plays that a lot of the episodes were, they, you know, they dealt with huge themes, and hopefully we've carried that forward into our version and the context for this story, which is very much up to date with what it has to say about U.S. foreign policy and how we interact with the world. And, it, you know, having said that, it's just there in the background. But, you know, it's smart. It's a very smart franchise. And I'm so thrilled to be part of it.
Sure, sure.
Since I've done it, I've looked back a lot to see what I'm part of, and it's a real privilege.
Well, there's been so much speculation about the character that you play, but one of the things that people keep coming back to is your character is extraordinary in that you're almost superhuman in how smart and how strong you are. And that must be very difficult to portray a character like that who has to have all cylinders firing all the time.
It's true. JJ likened it to a sort of supercomputer ramped up to 11, whereby there was sort of smoke and steam coming out of it. It was so sort of overwrought. And, you know, that was a good sort of place to start from, a tall order. But, you know, that's what I've tried to bring to him. And he's physically very strong. I trained for the role for a long while. Well, non-stop because I was late casting, so I had to hit the gym, so to speak, very, very fast and eat an awful lot of food. I ended up eating about 4,000 calories a day at one point to kind of test up the muscles.
Wow.
And that was fun, and also the stunts and the choreographed fight scenes, all that had to, you know, I had to sell exactly those qualities you described, you know, sort of near superhuman strength and agility and smarts as well. He's incredibly clever and plays a masterful game of manipulating both Kirk and Spock and the Enterprise crew into kind of doing his bidding almost, but at the same time he's superhuman emotionally. You know, he's a big guy's crying this film, and he's doing it for a very good reason, so hopefully you feel some empathy for him as well. He's not just a cold machine, he's somebody who has a lot of feelings.
You know, you play super super smart, and you play sort of feelingless in the Sherlock TV series.
A little bit. I mean, definitely, you know, there's something where Sherlock is sort of in control of his emotions, but I think what the beautiful thing of our version is that Watson continues to humanize him.
Right.
And, you know, you saw someone who was pretty devastated at the end of the last episode, I think, and what that was about. You may find out in the new season, which we're hoping you guys are going to get when we get sometime near the end of this year. But it's something I tend not to try and repeat myself in my work. I've played another guy who's the complete polar opposite of that. But there's definitely a parallel, I think, between how smart my character is in Star Trek and Sherlock's kind of attitude as well.
By the way, Benedict, I know you're awfully proud of yourself, but I managed to eat 4,000 calories a day, and it's easy. It's not that difficult. I just want you to know.
I felt like it was the hardest thing I've ever done. I don't know how you do it.
The rest of us try to cut down to 4,000.
Right, exactly. I know we have to go. This is the voice of actor Benedict Cumberbatch here on the Kevin DeBeach Show. We're talking about Star Trek Into Darkness, which we're so excited about because the first Star Trek, what has to be, Benedict, and you're a film fan, one of the greatest reboots in film history. I mean, that movie just worked on every level, and it really kind of, I mean, there's a lot of expectation because the last one was so great on this one.
Well, JJ has established a house style, so there'll be something that's familiar about it, but at the same time, he's really pushed the envelope with the subject matter and what the characters face, and it's every single one of the relationships you've come to know in the first is tested and really, really put through its paces, and it's a beautiful thing because the spectacle's bigger, the themes are bigger, but also the relationships are bigger. You kind of, from that beginning, we've now got a much richer tapestry to tell the story of this, you know, much beloved group of crew members of Enterprise. So I hope it won't disappoint, famous last words, but I think people are in for a real treat. And if you like the first one, even if you haven't seen the first one, I know friends who are not Trekkies, not into sci-fi, hadn't even got around to seeing the 2009 film, and they loved it. So we're really proud of what we've done, and JJ rightly so.
That's great.
Take all the credit because it's pretty
yeah, he's a genius indeed. Star Trek Into Darkness is the film coming out next Thursday everywhere. Go see it. Benedict Cumberbatch, I know we'll be seeing a lot more of you because you have some amazing movies on tap for the next couple of years. You're going to be a very busy boy, but thanks a lot for working in some time to talk to the Kevin and Bean Show. We enjoyed it.
Such a pleasure. Lovely to talk to you guys. Thanks for having me.
Visit JiffyLubeSoCal.com and play the Jiffy Lube Baseball Fever Scratcher Game. Prizes include a baseball game night suite for you and your closest friends, baseball game tickets, autographed baseballs, baseball jerseys, and more. Visit JiffyLubeSoCal.com for your chance to win. I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
Pretty general contest, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Autographed baseballs, tickets.
All kind of things.
Not going to tell you what team. I'm just going to have to guess. All right, it's the world-famous K-Rock. It is 25 minutes after 7 o'clock.
Ralph Garman and his phenomenal Anchorman-like mustache are off for a few days filming the new Seth MacFarlane film in New Mexico, so he's not here for the movie beat, but we couldn't be more delighted to welcome our old friend, Mr. Movie Phone himself. Yay! Russ Leatherman joins us on Facebook at Mr. Movie Phone and at 6secondreviews.com. Hey, Russ, how are you, buddy?
What's up?
Nope, you can't pull that off, my friend.
What are you talking about?
Russ may be the whitest friend we have. But
come on.
We're delighted.
We're going to talk about Peoples. We're going to get into that. We're going to talk about Aftershock, the new Eli Roth movie. But Lisa.
Yes.
The movie you've been waiting weeks for.
I'm so excited.
Maybe your whole life.
But no.
Well, we're going to get to that.
Okay.
Let's not jump the gun. We're talking about The Great Gatsby.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now
the trailer looks amazing.
It does. The trailer, although it makes you a little dizzy.
Yeah, right? It's true.
Sure.
Okay, so you guys know this is the retelling of the classic American novel by F. Scott Fitzgerald, starring Leonardo DiCaprio. You got a great cast, Carey Mulligan, Isla Fisher, a soundtrack that includes Jay-Z, Lana Del Rey. Everything about this movie looks good. Let's listen to a clip.
Who is this Gatsby?
He was a German spy during the war.
Teddy Barton, Nick Carraway.
A German spy?
No. He's the Kaiser's assassin.
I heard he killed a man once.
It's true. Killed for fun, free of charge. He's certainly richer than God.
You don't really believe he killed a man, do you?
Well, let's go find him and you can ask him yourself.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Okay.
What?
Now, isn't the deal with this movie, this is the sixth time this movie has been attempted by Hollywood, and the previous five have all been terrible. And I guess the rub is that the book is great because it's so beautifully written, it's all the powers in the prose, but that the story itself is kind of weak and undeveloped, and that's a problem for every filmed version. Is that the case here too, Russ?
Well, Bean, you know that I specialize in brevity, so let's play that six-second review.
Mr. Movie Phone, 6-second review starts now.
What you'd imagine a unicorn barfing up a rainbow might look like. It may be Gatsby, but it ain't great. I'm out.
6-second reviews are brought to you by MoviePhone.com. Going to the movies? Done. MoviePhone.com.
A unicorn barfing up a rainbow.
So it looks
it
amazing.
Looks amazing. Not great.
And that's it?
You know what? Bean's exactly right. It's all frosting, no cake. It's like a billion calorie Twinkie.
I like frosting and I like Twinkies.
Yep.
I like frosting, I like Twinkies. Kevin, you're not going to like this movie. It's way too long. Lisa,
yes.
I will say this. The screening I was at, some of the ladies seemed to enjoy it. Leonardo DiCaprio is good. They like Baz Luhrmann's style. I would say if you loved Moulin Rouge, you're probably going to like this.
Okay.
Guys, if your wife or girlfriend is dragging you to see The Great Gatsby, maybe you spend 10, 15 minutes in the parking lot before you go in. Not advocating, just saying
it would be a better experience.
Understood. That's all I'm saying.
All right, we move on to, I didn't realize Eli Roth was in this movie, this Aftershock, with all the other big summer movies that are out there. This one's getting a little bit of a short shrift in the advertising department, but how's this one, Russ?
Well, that's what happens, is you get a big wide release, a big blockbuster, then you get a couple smaller releases, and you do have Eli Roth with Aftershock. You guys might know him from the Hostel movies.
Sure.
But he's, like you say, he's a big actor in this movie. And you have a group of American tourists sort of caught in an underground nightclub in Chile when a massive earthquake hits. But finding the way out of the earthquake disaster is really the least of their worries. Let's hear a clip.
I'm in.
Jesus, turn it off!
It does sound loud.
That is the worst clip ever called for any movie ever.
Thank you, Omar.
Jesus. Wow. That is horrible.
So that doesn't sum it up for you, Mr. Movie Phone?
It really does. That is a perfect clip. Here's the thing. There's an audience for this movie. But they're mostly in prison.
Come on. Am I a bad person if I want to see Aftershock?
Yep. you're a bad person. This even sort of Hostel and those kinds of movies, there is an audience for them, but Eli Roth probably stick to the directing, not so much the acting. This is a rental. This is definitely a rental.
All right.
All right, and finally we have Peoples, which I'm dismayed to find out from our guest Craig Robinson yesterday is in the Tyler Perry universe, and that scares me. But otherwise, it has a great cast with David Alan Grier, with Kerry Washington, Esapatha Merkinson, all terrific actors. How's this one, Mr. Movie Phone?
Lazy, dumb, and unoriginal.
Aww.
But other than that, it's all good. It is, you know what? It is. I heard your interview with Craig Robinson, and we love him. And
yeah.
I don't know if you guys saw last night's episode of The Office, but that's all winding down so perfectly.
Yeah,
maybe that's how we focus on Craig Robinson. This is really Meet the Parents. Just a little...
Blacker?
You okay?
Just say it.
I don't know if I could say that.
Just say it.
You say it.
I did. I already said it.
Okay.
I don't want to say it again.
Oh,
but that doesn't make it bad, though. What's the problem with it? Just you said it's lazy. It's just the writing. They're just not trying very hard on the jokes.
It's Meet the Parents. I mean, that's...
But Meet the Parents was good,
yeah.
I thought.
It was good, but do you want to see the same exact movie, but... Go say it.
Blacker. Okay, we got it.
I don't think you do.
I sort of do.
Okay, then go. Kevin, go see Peoples. Go see Aftershocks.
Okay.
Enjoy The Great Gatsby.
Okay. Mr. Movie Phone can be found on Twitter at 6 Second Reviews. Also, you can get, if you're really in a hurry, 6secondreviews.com and on Facebook at Mr. Movie Phone. The beautiful thing about Russ, though, and why we like it when he fills in for Ralph, is he's a guy who's actually seen the movie, so at least he knows in which direction to steer.
I know. I crap on them after seeing them. That's the beauty.
Exactly. Have a great weekend, Russ. Thanks for the time on the Kevin and Bean
Show.
Later,
guys.
Bye, thank Russ.
You. All right. We need to get some people for the Weenie Roast Contest, which we have next.
I love
yes.
this contest.
We are giving away tickets to the sold-out K-Rock Weenie Roast 2013 and backstage passes. You are going to have to earn them. We are debuting a new game here, so I don't want to give too much away, but we are looking for you. If you are a Weenie fan, give us a call, 1-800-520-1067. We'll play next here on The Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Bob Saget joins us for the hour coming up at 8 o'clock here this morning on The Kevin and Bean Show. And as you know, you are running out of time to join us for the sold-out K-Rock Weenie Roast 2013. It's a week from tomorrow, kids, at the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater. Great lineup again this year with the Black Keys and 30 Seconds to Mars, Vampire Weekend of Monsters and Men, Jimmy Eat World, Silver Sun Pickups, Imagine Dragons, AWOL Nation, Atlas Genius, Fits and the Tantrums, The Neighborhood, Capital Cities, New Politics, 21 Pilots, and C2C. That's all one day, by the way.
That's going to be a great day.
All those bands. So we're giving away tickets. And Kevin, you had a great idea, I think, of a way to give away tickets.
In
a,
in
a way
you pin it on me.
We've never done before. The rest of us thought it sounded mean, but you said, no, this will be funny. Let's do it. Now, you want to explain the game to us.
Wow, way to poison the water. All right.
I'm kidding. I kid because I love. Brittany. Ladies and gentlemen, uncomfortably hot Brittany, our intern, has joined us in studio. Hi, Brittany. How are you, my dear?
Good. How are you?
Good.
Doing fine. I understand that Brittany wants to be a newscaster in the future. Is that true? You want to be an anchor?
I want to be a field reporter.
Field reporter.
Oh,
field
right. reporter. That's cool.
How come? That's interesting. I mean, it makes sense that you would get an internship at a radio station if you want to make a career in broadcasting, but why field reporter? What appeals to you about that?
I believe that everybody believes everything they see on the news. So I kind of want to be that person that does all the research that I'm providing for the viewers.
Okay. All right. So that they don't get a stilted view of what's going on.
Correct. And okay. Everything you hear on the news is pretty much false. So.
All right. All right. So she's going to clean up the news.
Okay. So you love the news? Are you like me? You love to stay current? You watch the news a lot? Because I hate it. If somebody brings up a story and I haven't heard about it, it drives me crazy. Makes me sad. Are you like that too?
For the most part, if I can stay up on the news, I do.
Doesn't bother me a bit.
Normal.
Got to be honest. All right. So okay. We're going to ask Brittany general knowledge questions.
Okay.
Just a general knowledge question. You'll be on the phone and you just tell us whether Brittany will know the answer or not.
Easy.
That's
easy
all you question. Have to do. You just have to guess, will Brittany know the answer?
Okay.
And the game is called The Answer is Probably No.
You want to go to Weenie Roast? Yeah, you really want to go the most. Whoa. Does intern Brittany know? The answer is probably no. Does intern Brittany know? The answer is probably no. Whoa. Whoa. Probably no. Probably no. Oh, yeah, man.
So there's a clue in the name of the game. The answer is probably no. In the great tradition of a Beat Beer Mug or Does Kevin Know or Lick Lisa, basically I ask a question and you tell us whether you think Brittany is going to know the answer or not. And that's how it's right. That's how it works. And if you're right, you go into the drawing to win the tickets for the Weenie Roast. Who's our first contestant?
We first have Chuck, a physical therapist. Hi, Chuck.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Welcome to going? Welcome to the answer is probably no, which of course leaves yes as an option. Just so you know.
All right, Chuck, listen up. Here's the question. I'm going to ask Brittany. The news has been chock full this week of coverage of three women kidnapped more than 10 years ago who were being held against their will in a small house in what American city? Will Brittany know what American city has been in the news with the kidnappings this week?
Is Brittany smart or what?
Brittany is smart. It's just a question of how much she's paying attention to the
Chuck.
News she says she loves.
She's also
Chuck.
Really busy.
Hey, Chuck, there's a little clue in the name of the game is the answer is probably no.
Yeah.
However, you could pick yes if you'd like.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I am going to say no.
No. Brittany?
You're going to say no. Brittany, what city?
Cleveland.
Oh!
Yeah.
It's not necessarily no. It's probably no.
Actually, I had your report on that yesterday. There you go.
So you were forced into that one. All right. Sorry about that, Chuck.
I'm following up on that one.
Who's our next contestant?
Andrew is our next contestant. He's a warehouse employee. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, Kevin and Bean. Hey, Lisa May.
Hello.
Hey, Brittany.
All right. Brittany's uncomfortably hot, by the way, but so far she's schooling our listeners. She's 1-0. Here we go. Last week, a 3-year-old thoroughbred named Orb won the 139th running of the prestigious Kentucky Derby race and picked up the $1.5 million first prize. Will Brittany either be able to give us the name of the city in which the Kentucky Derby is held or the name of the racetrack? Will she be able to come up with either one of those? Of course, it's been in the news a lot this week because this is the week the race was run. What do you think, Andrew?
It's either or, not both.
Either or.
Either one. Either one. Trying to make it as easy as possible.
I'm going to say no, then.
No.
You're going to say no to either the city or the racetrack for the Kentucky Derby. Brittany, do you know?
I think
she
knows the city.
Okay. No, I do not.
She does not know. He's right.
He is right.
The answer's probably no. The answer's no. Nicely done.
Know. What's the answer?
The Kentucky Derby is held in Louisville, Kentucky, and the racetrack is called Churchill Downs. All right. Thank you for playing, Andrew. You are in the drawing. Who's next?
Not sure I would have got that one, by the way.
I would not have got
that one. Michael is next. He's a payroll specialist. Hi, Michael.
Hey, guys.
All right, here's the question. Again, the clue is the answer is probably no. We were just talking with Mr. Movie Phone about The Great Gatsby, one of the most anticipated movies of 2013, based on the book of the same name, considered by many to be the greatest American novel ever written. Will Brittany know who wrote The Great Gatsby? Who wrote The Great Gatsby?
Mr. Movie Phone just said it, by the way.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to say yes.
You think yes. Oh, it certainly has been in the news a lot, as this movie has been talked about for a long, long time. All right, Brittany, do you know who wrote the book, The Great Gatsby?
Sorry, no.
The answer's probably no. I'm just saying we're giving you a pretty big hint here. There's a lot of yeses coming from the listeners.
I think it's because I got the first one.
F. Scott Fitzgerald is the name we were looking for. F. Scott Fitzgerald is the man who wrote the book. Okay, no damage there. Andrew's still in the drawing. Who's our next contestant?
Our next contestant is Chad, and it says sheet metal.
Chad is sheet metal.
He is sheet metal. Hi, Chad.
All right.
Sheet metal mechanic, all right.
Welcome to The Answer is Probably No.
Okay, all right.
All right, uncomfortably hot Brittany is here. We're asking questions about things in the news. Fans of 90s pop music were saddened last week when Chris Kelly, a member of the hip-hop group that had this number one record, passed away from a drug overdose at only 34 years old. Of course, we all remember this song. It has been back in the news again, of course, because of the young man who died in that band. Will uncomfortably hot Brittany know the name of that hip hop group? Will she come up with the name of that hip hop group?
Chad?
It's probably no. I'm going to say yes.
Okay.
You're going to say yes on this one. Okay.
All right. Brittany?
It's probably no, and it is a no.
It is a no. So sorry about that, Chad. It was Chris.
I'm not sorry about it. You know why?
Because we gave him a hint.
The answer's probably no. How many of you are going to say yes? Holy crap!
That was a tough one.
That
was a tough one for me to guess, too, because obviously she's way too young to know that song first time around, but it's one of those songs that's never been off the radio. It's never been off people's consciousness.
Just say the name.
You know? Crisscross is who we were looking for. Crisscross. All right, we got time for one more. Who's our final contestant to join Andrew in the drawing?
Andrew. Is our next contestant. Andrew S. is our next contestant, so that we will have two Andrews.
Okay. Hi, Andrew. Welcome to the Kevin Bean Show. How are you, my friend?
Hope
Popo's out, party people.
Popo's out.
Popo's out to you as well. I have no idea whether Brittany is a sports fan or not, but I think this will be an interesting question for us all to guess. Can Brittany name any player on the Los Angeles Dodgers, past or present? Any person who's ever been a Dodger? Will she be able to come up with one? What do you think, Andrew S.?
Kevin's going to kill me unless I say no.
No, you can say whatever you want. I don't want you to lose the game because I'm mocking you. You can say whatever you want.
But, I mean, there has been a track record so far in the game. But this is, again, this is a totally different kind of question. This is just a sports question. So she might be a huge Dodgers fan for all we know. We don't know.
I'm going to stick with no.
No.
You're going to say no. Right. Brittany, can you name any current or past Los Angeles Dodger player?
I can't think of anyone because I'm an Angels fan.
Okay.
Oh, that was a decent answer, yeah. Except for
however,
an Angel fan. How do you not know a Dodger?
Yeah, she follows baseball then, so you want to think about
it? I'm going to say...
Any Dodger.
She already said no, dude.
Yeah, I'm going to say no.
I think she already said no, so Andrew wins.
Andrew is in the drawing.
Nice.
Okay, but
done,
now...
Andrew.
But now, seriously, Brittany, one...
Now you're going to name all of them, B?
One Dodger?
You know, Angels. Angels.
Wow. Okay. I just... All right.
If
that's fine.
Said Angels, I would have been like, yes.
Hey, you're allowed to not know. That's fine. The answer is probably no. Is it going to be Andrew P. or is it going to be Andrew S.? Only one will win the tickets.
It's going to be an Andrew.
So
that's correct,
an
Brittany.
Andrew. All right. The winner is... Let's see. Sorry. The winner is Andrew S.
Andrew S., the last guy we talked to. Andrew, nicely done.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
We'll see you at the Weenie Roast and backstage passes. And thanks for playing. The answer is probably no.
Does intern Brittany know? The answer is probably no. Whoa, probably no. The answer is probably no.
It's about to get handsome up in here, ladies and gentlemen. Afternoons on the world famous K-Rock. Our friend Ted Stryker joins us in studio here on the Kevin and Bean Show, filling in for Ralph Garman. Hi, Ted.
Hello, Bean. Hello, Kevin. Hello, Lisa May.
Hello.
I am doing great.
I have been dying to see you. I haven't heard it yet, but I understand that Queens of the Stone Age debuted some more new songs this week, and one of them is called If I Had a Tail. Have you heard it yet?
I have not heard that, but I'm extremely excited to hear it.
I am too. I just thought of you, and I was so excited. I thought, finally, Stryker has a theme song. So anyway, what's going on today, dude?
Well, that would be my second theme song because you guys came up with the first theme song, the Stryker Has a Tail thing, which people, I swear to God, at least twice a week mention the tail and they sing the song to me.
Sorry, we're waiting on the mugs here.
Well, that's
Stryker
right,
has a tail!
There you go. The highlight so far being a Kevin Bean was sitting 2 feet from Lisa May watching you do traffic. I always think, like, how do you know all the traffic and there's no screen? You're just like, you're so smooth and we're talking in here and I'm realizing you're on the air and I'm sorry for probably...
Oh, that's fine.
You're just so good.
You can't
Thank
throw
you,
her off,
Stryker.
A, no matter what you do, and B, she's making it all up.
I am
Yeah, I really think none of it's true.
I mean, I think you just go to the go-tos
traffic
every day. There's a buildup on the 405. All right, and Bob Saget's in the other room is going to be on in a minute, and that made me happy. Dennis Rodman is saving the world.
He's going, thank God it's in his hands.
He's going back to North Korea August 1st to reopen the political dialogue with Kim Jong-un because Barack Obama, according to Rodman, can't do S.
Wouldn't it be funny if they kept him?
if he actually brokers a peace deal?
Yes. That would be funnier.
How crazy would that be?
Yeah.
The only thing I want Kim Jong-un to do is tell Rodman to stop wearing those horrible hats. He wears the terrible trucker hat still.
Yeah. Oh, sure.
And maybe at some point you're 55 years old or whatever, take the piercings out. At some point it just starts to look ridiculous. Look, everybody always says, and we hear this all the time with people who think they don't like homosexuals and then they meet one and realize they're just regular people. Maybe that's what Kim Jong-un needs, is he needs to become friends with an American to realize that we're not the evil empire and don't need to be destroyed. This could actually have an impact.
But Bean,
this American?
Do you want this American to be the American?
He would not have been my first choice to send in. No, it would. Obviously, we would have sent Jessica Alba if we were picking. But what I'm saying is maybe it'll make a small difference in the way he views our country.
You
I hope so.
Are crazy.
This guy loves Dennis Rodman, by the way. He loves him. He feels like a superstar when he's around Rodman. He listens to Dennis Rodman. And Dennis, there's an American over there who was sentenced to 15 years hard labor in North Korea. Korea for plotting to overthrow the government. He's been in prison. Rodman says, I'm going to try and get the guy out. So now he's turning into Chuck Norris, Sylvester Stallone,
and Bill Clinton.
And Jean-Claude Van Damme and Bill Clinton all in one.
That's crazy. Amazing.
All right. So there's a show called Touch, or there was a show called Touch.
Oh, I love that show.
Well, Touch?
It's gone.
Is it gone?
Kiefer Sutherland's show has been canceled on Fox, but Deadline.com is reporting that Fox is in talks with Kiefer to bring back 24.
No kidding.
Yep.
How many seasons? Six, seven, eight seasons?
13.
Seriously?
I'm making this up.
It had a lot of seasons, though, already. That's crazy.
Yeah, it kind of ran its course, didn't it?
Sort of, but...
Ask me how many minutes of 24 I've seen in my life.
Many.
Zero.
I've seen them all.
Have you really?
Yeah, it's a great show.
You've seen everything on TV, and you've seen the movie with Barbara Streisand, and I saw that one, too,
I don't really need to bring that up.
Mother's Day is this Sunday, and these are the 10 hottest moms on the tube, according to this poll that I found online. All right, let's go through them real quick. Michelle Duggar, who's on 19 Kids and Counting, is at number 10. Rosanne.
Sorry.
All right, well, you're going to get the buzzer on this one. Roseanne Conner from Roseanne, played by Roseanne Barr.
What?
All right. Stop reading that list.
This number eight should be number one.
All right.
Samantha Stevens from Bewitched.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
hello?
Yeah.
Anyone?
Sure.
All right, let me go.
These are all older shows, though.
Yeah,
right?
Marion Cunningham from Happy Days. Okay, fine. Here we go. Carol Brady, number three.
Carol was a goer.
Carol was
she?
Hot.
She, yeah. I don't know anything
she
about
was.
Her waist fluctuated in size as the season went. I watched that show very closely. Claire Huxtable is number two.
Yeah, these aren't
good looking women.
Wait, these aren't hottest. This is just
the hottest.
Most popular?
Hottest. No. The hottest for Mother's Day. Yes. And number one, I can't even say, number one is from the movie Airplane and from Leave It to Beaver, June Cleaver.
That's moms we respect or moms
ever.
We love.
That's a terrible list, Tim.
You would sleep with two of those.
I wouldn't sleep with
Samantha
any of those.
Samantha Stevens.
In the day, maybe.
Right. Well,
she's 100
she's
now.
Passed. No, she's dead.
Okay. Worse. Then I would.
So, celebrating a birthday today, Chris Berman from ESPN, the back is 58. Bono is 53. Danny Carvey from Tool is 52. Young MC is 46. Your best friend Harry has a brother Larry in 5 days from now, Kevin.
You're going to marry?
Yes, very good.
Well done.
Richard Patrick is 45, and Odette Annabelle from Cloverfield is 28. Bob Saget's coming on next. I'm Stryker, and I just ruined the showbiz beat.
You are now about to witness the strength of Bob Saget.
You love the damn Full House, right? I did so much family television, I have Tourette's now. You know what I'd like to do now? I'd like to put a shoebox on my lap and give you a puppet show. My dad's like, if your mom and I are having sex and we videotape it and she falls out of bed funny, can I win $10,000? The Backstreet Boys, they're f***ing awesome. And they are back and they are street and they are boys and they are men. And they rock my f***ing world. Actually, name dropping is bullshit. It really is. Quentin Tarantino told me that. He said, name dropping is bullshit. And I said, you're f***ing right, Quentin. And we were up all night and Tribeca was off the hizzle.
Bob Saget.
Marijuana's not a drug. I used to for coke.
Saget, you rock. You for coke.
That's how we feel whenever we think of him, too. Bob Saget, that's what I'm talking about, is the new special premiering tonight on Showtime. Filmed at the Moore Theater in Seattle. Bob Saget, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend. How are you?
I'm really good, and I'm so happy to be back. Because last time I was here, you said don't come back for a year.
Well,
we did.
Did we say that?
Why did we say that?
Bean did. You weren't here, Kevin. Oh, no. I don't know where you were. You were indisposed for the entire time. you were locked in the bathroom with duct tape.
Don't come back for a year.
Yep. I wish we had held you to that. What happened? How did you sneak back in?
I don't know how this happened, Bean, but you were right. It was like I was really tired that morning, and I just wasn't very good. And you were going like, what do you want to talk about? I go, nothing really. And I just gave you flatline responses, and I'm all talkative and chatty this morning, but I think you'll still say don't come back for a year.
So on your way home, did you think Bean was right? I shouldn't come back for a year?
I thought instantly he was right. I thought you did exactly the right thing.
Bob, it's so weird that you're here today. I had two different Bob Saget television experiences last night. First of all, I don't know how it ended up on this channel. It wasn't me, I promise, but New York Minute was on last night.
Oh, my.
The movie that you were in with the Olsen twins and Dr. Drew, by the way.
I don't even know what that is.
He played their father.
Yes, yes, yes. So that was on. And then last night in the opening 30 seconds or minute of The Office, they made a Bob Saget reference. You probably heard about that. I'm sure
you
did. Wow,
no. I thought I was on. No, I never heard that. But I have friends that were, BJ Novak's a buddy of mine, and he was running it for a while. So
yeah, last night there was a Bob Saget reference on The Office, and I thought this is just so strange to have two Bob Saget appearances on my TV, because you're a guy who basically your career is over, and it's unlikely that I would ever see you on television.
You know, I can't get back for another 6 months at least.
He's on TV tonight, Bean.
And then he's on TV. TV again tonight.
Well, I thought you meant I was on Craig Ferguson's show last night, because I was on that last night.
That's what he meant.
And I'm on.
And you're on The View today.
I'm on The View with the ladies,
oh,
but that was shot at the beginning of the week.
Oh,
so you're not supposed to tell that, but how could I be here?
Oh,
I mean, you did the right thing. I mean, I don't know how. I'm not in New York.
Our listeners aren't going to bust us on The View, though.
No.
They're not going to go, hey, wait a minute, Saget couldn't be here.
I can't believe Kevin and Bean didn't watch the ladies.
Elizabeth, so I guess what's happening here is that I think you're unfilmable at this point, yet you're on every television show in the world. It seems like you're hotter than ever because you're all over my TV.
I want to be all over your TV. I don't care if you're watching it. That's all it is. I want to mate with a TV set. I made one in eighth grade.
Tell us about That's What I'm Talking About. That's your new special.
That's What I'm Talking About is, I don't know how I titled it. I was just in editing, and I said it like 20 times, and I said, let's cut out 10 of the times I say, That's What I'm Talking About, because it just sounds stupid.
Right.
And so we took out 10 of them.
But you use that after you don't say anything, right?
Correct.
That's the correct usage of that.
The usage of that is I flatline like I did when you told me not to come back.
I like it.
A year later.
I like it.
And it made no sense. And it was funny to me because I spoke for like 15 minutes on the special until I said to the audience, so how are you guys doing? it took me that long. I never said try the veal. But,
but the last special, I got this from the last special.
Stop it.
I got this. You still use it all the time.
I do tell people to stop it now.
You
and then.
Yell a lot of stop it. That
well,
happens.
I have become a public service announcement in my stand-up
Stop work. It.
it's better than the thing that can't say its name, but that's a billion years ago.
Yep,
we can't even talk about that.
No, we can't.
People have lost their jobs and their blood.
Yes, that's true.
So what happened was wanted to do this special. It was 4 or 5 years since I did the last one. So it still has a public service announcement take to it. I tell people not to have relations with sea life. You know, you can get trichinosis, sea kelp disease.
That's a good tip.
That's exactly where it affects a person as well. And so, see, that's what I brought to the earth. That is what I have done to help.
Help
me.
Who?
Help who and why. But this is...
Stop it.
That's almost my own Darth Vader in my head. Come here. But I'm proud of the thing. I like it. I sang 5 songs in it, which I don't know why I would go. I'm proud of it.
I want to ask you about that. What's that deal?
You sang on Foolishness, didn't you?
I did.
Yes, you did.
April Foolishness, again, was one of the most fun stand-up kind of experiences that anybody could have collectively.
Now, can you play instruments and write and sing songs because at one point you thought that's what you wanted to do, or did you develop those skills to help you with your comedy?
I'm not very good at them, so even though I played 5 songs, I don't go above the 4th fret, so I have a fear. My left arm is scared of a lot of things. My right is very, very bold.
It's had more work.
It's had so much. It's got carpal tunnel just as I talk. But I actually used to write music. When I was 14, I wrote 60 songs and wrote the music out, and none of it was bad.
It was all bad.
Oh my God, it was
even
bad.
In like by the time you get to 55, aren't you getting good?
I guess maybe by the time I'm here.
No, I don't mean 55 years. I mean 55 songs. Don't you?
Oh
at
no,
some point?
One of the last ones I wrote when I was 15 years old was called "When I Was a Boy," and it was about going to the service. So it was like really firsthand, first person experience of a fool.
That sounds great.
Yeah, it was kind of bad, good. But the songs I did in the special, I'm real happy about. One of them's called "The Girl from Driftwood Nursing Home," and it's a love song to a woman. It's kind of a Harold and Maude kind of thing.
Ooh.
A guy. It sounds in poor taste, but it's meant as a love
Stop
song.
It. it's in poor. I haven't heard it. It's in poor taste, Bob. You're just so close to it now, you don't realize that.
Yeah, because I saw Kevin wincing as I mentioned the title, but it's not anything that would. You know, it's love
everything,
for another person.
Yeah, but how old is this other person?
Very, very old.
Stop and this other person is so old she can't run away. Right? That's how old she is.
That's love. You know, that's
from that, you.
Well.
There's
no physical
that we
love.
Know of.
Not in the song, there isn't.
All right.
It's all in your imagination.
Okay.
And there's a couple of the songs. There's a couple sing-alongs I'm very excited about. There's a big thing at the end called The Biggest Wiener. It's a song. I want them to play it in schools one day. You know, use it as a song. And
sure.
Like Big John or, you know, you know how Big John plays in schools?
I have no idea what you're talking about right
you
now.
You guys are right. You guys are right. I really shouldn't come back for a year.
I
have a
Big
book
John
coming
is.
Out. Big John was, you know, Big John, Big John.
Oh, Big Bad Song. Big Bad John.
Oh, yeah. That song. Okay.
Big Bad John. That one. Okay. Yeah, let's great stuff. Something. Great reference.
I should probably do a reference from this century.
Well, right. Try.
All right, so the Moore Theater, in Seattle is where I shot the special. It's like 100 and something years old, and Houdini worked there. Harry Houdini.
Wow. That's not.
And they told me Helen Keller worked there, and I wondered if I got more laughs than she did. I'm just wondering.
Ladies and gentlemen, a Helen Keller reference here in 2013 as well, because our audience knows who that is.
When I went to the Big John thing, I figured I might as well just take the full triple Lindy.
All right,
triple Lindy reference from Ronnie Dangerfield, Back to School.
Take a break.
Well, at least in your defense, you're up to 1982 now, so if we stick with you long enough, you'll get here.
I'm going to get all the way from here to the parking lot.
We're going to take a break, and we're going to download an update. And we'll be right back.
Our friend Bob Saget in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. His new Showtime special is called That's What I'm Talking About. It is debuting tonight on the TV, and then it's going to be out on DVD and CD next week. So, and I'm sure, as usual, that's a longer version with more stuff that didn't make the TV, right, Bob?
Yeah, they're telling me, actually, it's not till July that the DVD and CD come out, but I don't know what to believe anymore. And then I know it goes Netflix and iTunes, but they...
You'd know.
I thought I'd know, too. I just know the artwork's good. And we did a dedication to the Moore Theater, which, Bean, I know you're familiar with that area up there because you like it up there, right?
You did that show in Seattle?
I did.
And did you let Bean know you were going to be there?
I didn't.
He wouldn't have come anyway.
Yeah, he wouldn't have left the house. But that, what was cool was right behind the Moore Theater. What were you going to say, Bean? I'm sorry.
It's a dodgy neighborhood up there where the Moore Theater is. It's a little shaky.
It really is. And there was like a flop house right behind it. And
really?
It was so cool because we were just on the loading dock all day just watching like prostitutes go in and just guys, just drifters. Everybody looked like they were from Twin Peaks, the show.
Totally.
That's an almost newer reference.
90s.
That's early 90s. Yeah, a couple of my own Private Idaho guys drifted by. And it was go ahead, sorry.
You've been doing some press for this that I have been enjoying because you're always funny, except on our show. You're always funny in other interviews.
And you're just waiting for me to be funny.
You told a story that I need some more details on about you may be the only person I knew who suffered a serious injury that left a scar while bowling. Now, let's all stop for a moment, Kevin, and think about how you could become so injured bowling
you
get a scar.
You really are reading up on me.
Bowling? How do you get a scar? You fell?
Where do you
You had
a
to
scar?
Have fallen.
I didn't fall.
Did you hit yourself in the knee with a ball?
No.
How
no, sir.
Can you hurt yourself?
Did the ball not release and you...
No, that happened this morning, but it has nothing to do with bowling. I'll tell you what happened.
Hold on. I want to see if we can figure this out.
Right?
You didn't fall.
Did not fall.
Did you hit yourself with a ball anywhere?
No.
Okay.
Did someone else hit you with their ball?
No. But I'd like a room, please.
Let's leave Stamos out of this, Lisa.
He was in the building.
That's
Stamos
strange.
Was in
okay,
the building.
Okay, what happened? I can't figure out what happened.
It gets even geekier and sadder once I tell you.
All right.
Okay, it was my birthday, and John Stamos rented out the Palms Bowling Suite in Vegas.
Oh, right. Nice.
You
the
know,
room
they have
that has
simulated
the...
rooms that you need infrared scanning on every one of them.
Sure.
You know, let's use the pool room. Okay, great.
Yeah.
And so we're in the bowling suite, and I was up. I bowled, and the ball return got stuck. And I was in a robe and a cigar because I was with my buddies, you know, nothing
your
sketchy.
Birthday party, right?
Nothing really weird.
Sure.
And this had my
Did
cigar.
You have underwear on?
No.
Okay, then something weird. But
no,
go ahead.
No. Dave Coulier from Full House, the lovely Joey from Full House, my friend Dave was running around naked. So
okay,
but
so
that
you
was
at
to
least
make us
a
laugh.
Rope.
So I was all done up in my Sunday best.
All right.
So then one of my friends named Ray, I think he was a little, you know, a little out of it, you know, a little maybe on something. Who knows?
You and think?
Possibly. I'm not sure. I put it in his drink. Hope he can take advantage later. And he bowled. Right when I was reaching into the ball return to get my cigar,
are we still talking about bowling?
We are.
Okay,
but I had puttin'.
You just said puttin'.
I talk from 300 centuries ago.
I like it.
And I talk like Lil Abner and Huck Finn. So I dropped my cigar into the ball return and reached to go get it. And as the claws came down, my friend Ray bowled. because he had no clue that I was standing in front of him.
How could he not know that?
Why do people hit people with a car? I don't even know. And the claw came down from the ball return,
yeah,
and it scratched me right there. So that is a skin claw.
Wow, that's along a real my freckle. Scar.
It's right down my chasm of freckles.
Do you make up a better story for that when people see it?
Yeah, I say it was done. I say a chastity belt. It's usually the of the queen of Scotland.
Did you start bleeding like a mofo?
I did. I did.
That's a big scar.
It's a large scar, and it opened up right away. And so I started making jokes that I can't really say on the air what it looked like.
Sure. We can imagine your description.
And I don't want to keep going. I don't even tell you what I was saying it was, but I did go down to the front desk and get a tampon, and then I and then a pad, and then a 3-day pad, and then I took the Midol.
Did you have to go to the doctor or have a doctor sent up to the suite?
No, actually, two of my friends just made it work like a Jeff Dunham puppet for a little while. They spoke with it. We butterflied it. And we sautéed it. Bubblegum shrimp, I think, is the closest to the century reference of the entire.
You can super glue that stuff.
You can.
You can super glue
it. I know someone that did that. I know an old comedian. I don't know if he's alive now, but he chipped his tooth and he super glued it back into his mouth.
Awesome. I wasn't thinking of dental work, but I guess that would work.
Right. He was just like, it's the same as bonding and it's going to be a lot cheaper. I'm like, wow. My foot came off. I think I'm going to go to Home Depot.
I think Kevin is right, though, that your story needs to be I was entertaining the troops in Afghanistan and some shrapnel hit my wrist. I think you need to upgrade that story from bowling.
That's what I'll do. When I come back here in a year or two,
we'll ask you about it again.
And I will give you the complete answer that I saved a lot of guys.
Fantastic.
I like it.
Yeah, it was
a lot. We lost a lot of good men that day. That's how it
is. Zero Dark Saget, I'll call it.
Bob's new special is called That's What I'm Talking About. It debuts on Showtime tonight. And by the way, if you want to see the man in person, he does have upcoming dates this summer at the Irvine Improv. You can buy those tickets now at laughstub.com. Just $25 to see him the week of July 12th. More with Bob after this on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
If you ever get the opportunity to do a radio show, have Bob Saget in. Don't put him on the air, God forbid, but have him in because he tells great stories off the air. I got to tell you, I got to give Bob credit for that.
And that's how I got rid of my pregnancy.
Exactly. The new special is on Showtime tonight called That's What I'm Talking About. Although you probably say it even whiter than that, right, Bob?
No, I really do try to go as urban as I can. It's
Let me hear your That's What I'm Talking About. Let me hear how you pull that off.
I think I'm That's What I'm Talking About.
That's pretty good, actually.
That's better than Bean.
Not
like
bad.
Better than Bean. Not much of applause, but
Bob also amazed
us. Oh, that was me.
Bob also amazed us this morning when he walked in and said, guys, I'm writing a book. And we thought, why? Like, reading is for losers,
that's
first
my,
of all.
My editor said that.
Why are you writing a book, Bob? You're a guy who has an outlet to talk and tell your stories. Why do you need to put it down on paper, too?
Well, I actually always wanted to. I didn't want to do a memoir, per se, because then it's like, and then I did this, and then I did that. But that's 70,000 words of just me going, and then I did this, and then I did that.
And it was really cool.
But my life is so interesting so far, so it kind of is a comedy book as well. It starts just with the fact that the laptop is heating up my testicles. So,
okay, that's the beginning of the book.
That's how it starts.
Okay, good.
And it has that kind of comedy that's like my stand-up, which is nonsensical, and it's a deviation from pain, because really the whole book is about how comedy and death intersect. Because I've lost two sisters, my parents lost four children, I've lost four uncles.
There's a lot of death.
A lot of death.
That's true.
Is there death in your family too?
No, I say around you.
Around me.
I'm worried about being this close to you.
Yeah, but we're separated by equipment.
Okay.
I'm not.
I know we're not.
Right here.
Sorry, Lisa.
We'll miss you.
No, you're fine. I don't have it. I'm not like I'm a carrier.
I'm not outbreak.
Listen,
I've never met anybody that's known that many people who've died.
Well, you have.
I honestly haven't.
Well, I'll get you into some numbers. I know a lot of people. But to deal with it, it was just a lot of humor. So my dad
let me ask you about that. Were you young when you started losing relatives?
Yeah.
And that led to some sort of reaction to that was, I will cry if I don't find something to make me laugh, and that's how you ended up being attracted to comedy?
Exactly. And I actually followed in the footsteps of my dad, which were disgusting because he never washed his feet.
What?
Exactly. There's no humor there at all, and you knew that. And you were listening, Lisa, and that's why I care about you.
Stop it.
So what happened was, like, when I was four, my dad had five brothers, and every year, like, one of them died. So I was five, all different ones. It wasn't the same one dying.
Not all different brothers, all different causes.
The same Uncle Sammy died every year. It was such a boring trick.
But it was cool when he came back. Every year someone died.
So maybe every 2 years. Okay. And I had a cousin Bonnie. I mean, it's a lot of families have death and a lot of terrible things happen.
Wait, your dad's siblings, if you're four, your dad was a young man still, right?
Yes.
He was 30 or something? All right, so why
were
his...
40 or something.
Right, okay, so that's still way too young. Why were his brothers all dying?
His brothers were dying at, I guess, at 35 years old, 40 years old, heart attacks.
Wow, all of them heart attacks?
Yeah.
Wow.
So I get a checkup every hour. I go right from here to the muffler shop.
You should.
And then just other weird things happen. I had one sister came down with scleroderma, and I've been on the board of the Scleroderma Research Foundation. Another sister died of a brain aneurysm. And all of it, the more you say it, the more tragic it is and the more sad it is. And my dad had this amazing fortitude. He was 89 years old when he passed away, and he just, you know, found humor in it.
That's how he dealt with it.
Yeah, and not like pull my finger kind of stuff. It was more like, you know, you're out of your kind of stuff, not stuff universal.
Right.
But like someone would, although my grandmother would let one fly at the table, and my dad would look over like, that was great.
You just give her the knowing look like, nice.
Nice out, we actually said. And I don't even think out was even used then. It was pre how we speak. But he was just really, like, when someone loses somebody, which everybody that's listening has lost somebody, or maybe not, you're very lucky if you haven't, but most of the time at the funeral, the immediate family has people come over to them. They're the ones that are usually the most grief-filled.
Right.
And people would come over to my dad and go, I don't know how I'm going to live without her, and this is terrible. And he goes, oh, yeah, it must be horrible for you. I'm so sorry. And no one really ever consoled my dad. Was that weird to him?
I mean,
yeah, I remember standing at the funeral, and about four people walked away, and he goes, this is just great. He was like, nobody even tells me. I mean, he was very self-aware. They don't say, I'm sorry that you lost your daughter. This is delightful. I hope this goes on forever. Let's just keep serving deli. Let's just keep having these people. We had a cousin, Tootsie. Tootsie was her name, and she was amazing. She had polio as a kid. And I loved her. I called her Aunt Tootsie, actually. And, of course, she eventually had to pass away, and because it happens to – and
happens
she
was
Tootsie,
in your family.
Right. And there's a and there's a famous song, and there's no way that you would know it because I've started with things from 1,400 years ago.
Yeah.
But it was an Al Jolson song, Tootsie Goodbye.
Nope.
Okay, it doesn't matter. It exists. You can't – I don't even think you can iTunes it. You might be able to Spotify it.
Okay.
But at her funeral, my sister and I were singing that as they were lowering her down because there's nothing else to do. And Tootsie Goodbye is the only song. If there was another song for Tootsie, I would have done it.
But that's a pretty limited group.
It's limited. Led Zeppelin didn't go, gotta say goodbye to my Tootsie. You know, it didn't.
Now, there was Tootsie Roll by the 69 Boys. You could have brought that one out, but maybe not funeral appropriate.
She died before that. Funeral for a Friend by Elton, you could sing pretty much anything.
Sure,
that's kind of
instrumental,
but that's all instrumental, isn't it?
That's good. Then you don't have to come up with the parody lyrics.
What a weird life you've had. So now, hold on. So now you're
going back, and you're
writing all about all of those situations.
I just went through a chapter of my two sisters, and that was really hard and cathartic for me.
Is this going to be the most depressing book I've ever read?
No, but then it becomes very funny. Then it's just me meeting Roddy Dangerfield. And that is depressing. Come think of it.
He's dead too, by the way, Bob.
Yeah, I know. I actually buried him. I just took him out in the back. No, I officiated his funeral.
What's going on with you?
Rodney put me on his first Young Comedian special, so I really had a close thing with him. And then now I have other friends that are old that are alive.
They're going to be dying soon. Yeah.
No. Don Rickles is alive and well, and
he's doing great. Yeah. Did you call him this week on his birthday? His birthday was 2 days
ago. I did. I called him on his birthday, and he said, Why are you calling me?
Of course he is.
His way of saying, how did you get this number, means so much more than anyone else's.
Bob, when you're a little kid, I know we're almost out of time here with the great Bob Saget here on the Kevin DeBee Show, but when you're a little kid, you have all these people dying around you. Did you go through a phase where you were terrified that you were going to die? Like you were really, really scared that you didn't understand how it worked and you thought maybe you were next?
Yes. I think I actually, until I was about 40, I didn't know I was going to live that long because everybody. Mm-hmm.
You always took for granted that was
going to happen.
That's what happens in our family.
In your
right.
family, that's
I at this point feel very lucky But watch me go out of here right now. Just disintegrate.
Right on the word lucky. You're like going to have a heart attack.
Like a scanner. Like no one will know that reference, but I'll just explode.
You're 57 now.
I am 57 next week.
Next week.
Okay,
or days from now.
Compared to so many of your other relatives, is just tremendous longevity.
Father time.
But you have to look at your dad and go, you know, your dad is probably the most likely predictor of how you'll do.
And he was 89.
And he was 89.
He would have kept going if he could have gotten some Tang. Whoops.
So you might be okay. You might have dodged the bullet.
I think I have. You want to know what my dad's... This is inappropriate. It's not dirty. You won't have to bleep it.
All right, inappropriate.
My dad's... I was with my dad for his last words. You want to know what my dad's last words were?
Yeah. I think.
That was his last... Bob. It only works on radio. I've been saving this up for a month. That was his last words.
We got to go.
Bean, why would that make you want to... I make you actually want to go to the library, don't I, when you talk to me?
When's the book coming out?
The book is going to be January, February.
Will I be able to come back?
Yeah, you'll get all of them.
Because I haven't today.
To be honest with you, my editor, who's brilliant at HarperCollins It Books, has been telling me these references have to go.
Okay, good.
That's one of the notes. Some of them are too current, and some of them... don't exist on Earth.
I just know that Dennis Miller is listening, and he's going, what the hell is Saget talking about?
I had to call Dennis yesterday. I was on a radio tour to apologize for my call to him the day before.
What?
I was too absurd. I wasn't talking in that. Yeah, Dennis wouldn't know any of the references from today, although he might.
Bob, come back and see us in January when the book comes out.
I'm going to have to run this by the team on the second floor and get some of the references figured out.
I'm going to go to my dry erase board and put down my calendar in January that I'm back.
Don't miss the Showtime special. It's going to be hilarious. I guarantee it. That's what I'm talking about is what it's called, Bob Saget Tonight on Showtime, and then look for the DVD and CD either next week or in July, depending. We don't know which. Thanks, Bob.
Thanks so much.
Stryker from the afternoon show here on the world-famous K-Rock is sitting in this hour in for Ralph Garman with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on, Ted?
All right. Well, I just want you guys to know I am so happy I did not do American Idol because I knew that show was a sinking ship.
That's right. They offered you the job, didn't they?
Before season one, I haven't talked about this a whole lot, but
I didn't know this.
Before I was offered to be the fourth judge on season one, and the deal was done, and 2 days before the start of filming, I had some craziness with the bosses here at the radio station, and they said things, and I said things, and next thing you know, I was not doing the AI thing. And so, I didn't do the AI thing. So I was going to be the fourth judge on season one.
Well, those millions of dollars will not be missed.
Not one bit. And, you know, I've done so many shows bigger than American Idol since then. You know,
and
Charm School.
Gone.
Who Knows the Band. Some pilots that never got picked up.
Uh-huh.
But actually, things are going pretty well. Anyway, Randy Jackson is out. He is leaving American Idol after 12 years. 12 years he's been doing it. He did a great job on there. He's got great ears. He's a good dude. Mariah Carey is not coming back, according to TheRap.com. Nicki Minaj is not coming back. And Keith Urban is not coming back.
So
they
gone.
They have no one.
They got no minutes now. They have no one. I'm curious to see who they're going to get. I think they should get one or two of past winners with a couple of...
Oh, that'd be interesting.
People have really good ears. Keep Seacrest on there and then keep that ship going. Have they had some big stars lately that have come from the show?
No, they haven't at all. I mean, who even knows who's won the last three or four seasons?
I have no idea.
They vanish.
Kelly Clarkson and the blonde country star have done the best.
Yeah.
Carrie Underwood.
Underwood, yeah, she's done great.
And obviously Jennifer Hudson obviously came out of the
show.
She's
done right.
And you know, there certainly has been some success with Adam Lambert had some success, and Scott McCready had some success. I mean, there have been some people who've been all right. Kelly Pickler still has a career in country.
I like her a lot.
But a lot of those are a lot of years ago. In recent years, not so much.
Ruben Studdard, Bean?
Yeah, where is he?
He's eating. Rod Stewart, Elton John, Celine Dion, and now Britney Spears. Britney Spears is going to do a concert residency in Vegas. She spilled the beans to In Shape Shape magazine. She's going to do a 90-minute set. It's probably going to be at Planet Hollywood. And I don't know if I would see that. If I was forced to go with my wife, who wouldn't want to go, maybe I would go.
It'd be really expensive, wouldn't it?
It would be. It's got to be at least $100 to go to something like that.
Yeah, if it's Vegas, it's $100, $150.
You would go, Kevin, right?
Only if I was really drunk.
Really drunk.
Yeah.
So 7 days a week, 24 it's hours tough. A day, you would go to that thing.
It's tough for me to get rid of drinking and gambling. It's tough for me to overrule that with anything.
How's your poker game?
Fantastic.
I would like to play with you sometime.
Nope.
NBC. Well, I appreciate
weird.
That. Ever since I filmed him with a Vine app going to the bathroom at IHOP at 3 in the morning, he has not spoken to me.
That happened at Coachella.
Guys with Kids has the plug has been pulled on that show on NBC. And third year of Up All Night. The network did renew Amy Poehler's show, Parks and Recreation, for a sixth season.
Good for her.
About a Boy, a new show is going to be on. Sean Hayes' new series called Sean Saves the World is going to be on TV, as is Family Guide starring, Parker Posey. Canceled shows, 1600 Penn and Whitney show has been canceled. Mm. I thought everybody was watching that Whitney show.
Not us.
No.
I didn't see it either.
Not good.
Then why did you think that?
Because I've never seen a show that had more promos on TV for it. Every time I turned on NBC, Whitney. I'm Whitney. Watch Whitney.
That's
see Whitney. All right. Celebrating a candle-blowing birthday today. Do you guys have the candle-blowing birthday, please?
I don't know. It would take us to... You have a bean? Because I'm not going to wait
for
months.
I'm sorry. I should have told you that
just
I was going to do
up,
that.
Just a heads up. A little heads up.
Birthday. It's my candle blowing birthday.
Chris Berman, 58. Bono is 53. Danny Carey of Tool is 52. Young MC is 46. His real name is Marvin Young, and he wrote many of Tone Loc's hits, by the way. Richard Patrick from Filter, who has the greatest skin of any man I've ever seen, is 45.
That's a great category.
Keenan Thompson, welcome to Good Burger, is 35. And Odette Annabelle from Cloverfield is 28. I'm Stryker, and I just ruined the showbiz beat.
Congratulations to Bethany Shepherd from Glendale. She is going to be able to see 30 Seconds to Mars at the K-Rock Weenie Roast. It is sold out. She just got tickets and backstage passes, and you can get them every hour through 8 p.m. tonight.
Awesome.
Doesn't it sound like, I don't know how recording studios work, but doesn't it sound like they just ran out of memory on whatever they were recording that song on? It just ends.
It does end pretty quickly.
It just is over. Got tickets for you every hour you can win on the world famous K-Rock to get yourself into the Weenie Roast, which again is a week from Saturday at the Verizon. Well, we like to help out each other in the family. If somebody's got a problem, we like to do what we can for them. Unfortunately, apparently that also holds true for the Armenian comedian because he's on the phone and he needs our help with something. Hi, Sam. Welcome back to the show, my friend. How are you?
Not too good, brothers.
I'm sorry to hear that. That's a terrible start. What's going on? What can we do for you?
Did you run out of weed?
Well.
Yeah, right? Right? You're with me. Things aren't that bad.
You know what? My son has a Honda Civic 2001, and they stole it last week.
Oh, your son's, for real, your son's car got stolen, and that's what you're looking for help with?
Yeah,
I'd like to focus just on a minute. Just let me butt in for a second here, Sam, and just say that the Armenian comedian is a dad. He has a son.
An actual kid,
Has a son who calls him dad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That
when you put it that way, that is sad. I guess the thing is with stolen cars is that the police don't have time to spend really tracking down stolen cars in Southern California because there are just too many of them. I mean, if you lose your car, am I right, guys? If you lose your car, you're just not going to see it again, right?
Unless you have, one of those systems that tracks it, yeah. I mean, that's basically...
I have an idea how they track the cars. When the cars are driven with the keys on it, it's normal. But when they are being driven with hot wires, I think one of the computer will sense it in their office.
Right.
Oh, you're saying that they should build that feature into cars, that if a car is being hot-wired, it will show up, it will be reflected somewhere.
Right.
But that's not the case now.
Yeah, we don't have that technology right now.
All right, where,
this is why I'm thinking, how did they find out? Because the LA police contacted the Burbank police, and they contacted us, because we didn't even know the middle of the night they stole it, and my son was asleep, and they knocked on the door next morning I assume they had a hot wire car being driven in the area, and then they did the crime scene the same time.
Lost. Completely what? Lost. No idea.
I got nothing.
What do you want us to do, Sam? Because let's face it, there's lots of 2001 Hondas out there. If a listener sees one, there's no way to know whether it's your son's car. Now, literally, what can we do for you?
But you know what? Hang on, Sam. Hold on, Sam. Hold on. Sam, hold on 1 second. Hold on 1 second. I think we need to have him earn it, don't you, Bean? I mean, we're not running a stolen car network here. I mean, if Sam wants to give out the information, help us track down the car, he needs to, you know, tell us a joke and make him earn it.
He needs to earn
his keep.
Man, you guys not listening to me, brothers. I want to say that to the listeners, whoever has...
Right, but what we're saying is we want you to make us laugh, and then we'll let you say anything you want.
Hello?
Is that fair?
Hello?
All right, so Sam, Kevin is saying, tell us a joke first, and then give out the information that you want to try to help your son get his car back.
I'll tell you a joke. Okay.
Okay, yes. That's what we want.
But it has to be funny. Go ahead.
Okay. One of the guy has an... he hits one of his friend, knocks on the door, and then he going to be on the second floor, look at the window, and, oh, no. He tells his wife, go downstairs and tell the guy that I'm not home. So the wife opened the door and she says, my husband is not home. Oh, yeah? Tell your husband when he goes out, take his head with him.
Okay, tell us a super funny joke, like that we laugh at, and then you can give the information about your son's car.
Okay.
But we have to understand the joke.
Because he lost me on that one. All right, here, we'll give you another chance here, Sam. A funny joke.
Okay. One day, one guy has his house next door. The guy is building his house, so he put all kinds of dirt in front of his window. So he's tired of watching this dirt. So he goes out and digs another hole to bury this stupid dirt that he's watching every day. So the neighbor comes out, what are you doing? He says, I'm tired of your dirt, so I'm burying it.
USA! You know, maybe it's me. Maybe I didn't phrase it right. Lisa, tell Sam what it is we're trying to do here.
We want to laugh a little before you put your information out on the air. So we just need something that's amusing that you tell us, that we understand.
Here's the thing, Sam. We're decent at jokes. We're not always funny, but... we're decent at understanding them.
At least
we got a sense
point.
Of humor.
Yeah.
Okay. But both of those two jokes, I don't even recognize what the attempt was.
Like, where does it start? Where does it end? What happened in the middle? I'm completely clueless.
What's come out with his head? What was that about? I don't even understand that joke.
Okay. When you are second floor, you look outside and you go, oh, no. So you duck it out. You put your head out and in, because you are showing your head, oh, who's out there? And then you go, oh, no, and you just push your head back. That's what happened. The friend saw the head out, and then the wife says, hey, my husband is out. He's not home. Oh, then the friend says, oh, tell your friend that when he goes out, take his head with him.
Oh, I get it now.
You do?
Yes.
You're a better man than I am then.
Yeah, no, so the guy downstairs saw him poke his head out. Mm-hmm. So he knows that the guy's home.
Okay.
So when the wife tells him, listen to Sam laugh. So when the wife tells him that the husband's not home, he says next time he should take his head with him.
Yeah.
Because he saw the guy.
I get it. I see. I understand.
Oh, I got one.
USA!
It wasn't funny at all, but I understand it.
The one thing I know about jokes is they're always better when they have to be explained. All right, what do you want? We have 30 seconds left, Sam. What do you want to say about your kid's car?
Well, I just want to say that everybody, listeners, be alert with their own cars, Honda Civic, And maybe those crooks will be fined in the camera one day. That's what I'm praying for.
I hope they are fined in the camera one day as well. All right, the Armenian comedian. Have a great weekend. Thanks for coming on.
Okay, I want to have a breakfast.
Right, we'll get right to that. Bean, he was going to come on and give us details so that they could recover the car.
Right.
That was the whole idea for his appearance.
None of that happened. None of it.
All he did was tell jokes that weren't jokes. And then he said, everybody that owns a Honda Civic, watch your back.
Right.
Because those cars might be stolen.
He may be missing the point. What's it like being so handsome, Ted?
Who's saying that?
It's me.
Oh, Bean. That is my dad. That is my a relative.
No.
First of all, I'm not handsome. And
you're
number two,
very handsome. No, my wife has a huge crush on Stryker, by the way. So believe me, I hear all the time about how handsome
Ted is.
Sounds
like you do too. Mm-hmm.
Really? But, does she ever come out here when you come out here? Because I'll take her around.
She never does. But Kevin and I have this discussion all the time. Like we were talking earlier about, and I know I'm biting your showbiz time here, Ted, but we were talking earlier about how Nina Dobrev and Ian Somerhalder just broke up from the, what are they on? The Vampire Diaries,
yeah.
And we were talking about how different their life is from ours. Because, look, when my wife leaves me, I'm not going to find another girl as attractive as she is. I just know that.
You're not going to find another girl.
That's possible.
Period.
It's not like I'm wading into a sea of equally hot girls or girls that are hotter like it would be for those two. And that's what I'm thinking. What it must be like to be a guy like you, Ted, who walks around and pretty much, you know, they all just line up for a moment
that
with you.
That is not true. One bit, Bean. That is not true. I can barely speak to girls, let alone get any girl, Bean.
Stryker, go with it.
All right, I'll go with it. Bean, it is goddamn hard.
It's got to be. Lisa, you're with me, though.
You just kick him out of the way, don't you?
Ted's handsome, right?
Good ladies. Very handsome. Very charming.
Oh, yeah, I'm just saying. It's supposed to be so weird to have that as your life, though. I just can't even imagine what that's like.
Bean, everything you're saying is completely inaccurate, just so you know right now. But
go
I love you for this, and I love your wife for having some sort of crush on me. My day
he
is complete. I get to be on Kevin and Bean. I'm near Lisa May. This is awesome. And I got to talk to Bob Sack, and I hit him with a hammer in the other room.
What? Why?
The Thor hammer?
I hit him with the Thor hammer.
Sure.
I didn't warn him about it, and he looked at me very odd.
Yeah, that's a strange thing to do to a guest.
It is. I'm sorry if he doesn't come back. It's all my fault, but I don't work in the morning normally.
We don't want him for a year anyway.
Right,
so
yeah, because it was a year since he was here.
Yeah.
Hey, Kevin, this one, this first story here is mostly for you.
Yes.
Public Polling Policy, which is one of the most accurate polling companies, just did a poll about different pop stars. And your favorite man on earth, who you always tweet about, you've probably seen three of his shows, Justin Bieber, the Wonder Boy, was more negatively viewed than his contemporary arena-selling peers as the poll checked favorably ratings on some of the music's biggest names. Bieber, more than anybody except one guy.
This is sweet. The world is starting to turn on Bieber. This is an answer to our dreams.
The Canadian young man achieved the also crazy feat. He was the only artist whose unfavorability rating stretched across partisan lines. That's right. Democrats, Republicans, and independents all reported negative views on the Biebs.
All except for one. Somebody beats him? Somebody's more hated than Bieber?
Yeah, he's the guy I'm talking about beat up Rihanna.
Chris Brown, the least popular man in music. Maybe the least popular man in America.
He graffitis his house. He beats girls. He's out and about. In the happy and love crowd, Adele was number one. Taylor Swift, Bean, was number two. And Timberlake was number three. And Timberlake also topped the who would you want to see as president? Timberlake was number one on that. So there you go.
Doesn't it seem like Justin Timberlake is the kind of guy, even if you don't care for that kind of music, everybody likes him because he just seems like a super nice, incredibly talented guy, but also funny and down to earth.
Yes,
every time he's on Fallon, he's great. I mean,
take it easy.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, he's pretty well liked. There is a beef in Hollywood between two people who you would think do not have a beef, and one of these guys was on the Kevin and Bean show recently, and I heard him and I love him. Zach Braff has beef now with Morgan Freeman.
What?
Yep.
You're going to lose that battle.
I think so. Braff has been under fire for launching the Kickstarter campaign to raise money. So you guys know about this because they're like,
here we go. It's on. Race war. Race war's on, everybody. It's going down.
Cartman.
It's going down.
Cartman, I don't think it's a race war.
No, this is more about Zach Braff calling out Morgan Freeman. Morgan Freeman did one of those AMA sessions on Reddit, which is an Ask Me Anything session.
Uh-huh.
And Zach Braff called complete BS that it was a publicist answering all the questions for Morgan Freeman.
Is that right?
Yeah. He called out BS. So Morgan Freeman was filmed last night by TMZ walking out of a restaurant. And they said, Morgan Freeman, what do you think about Zach Braff? And he answered, not the best idea. So
he is God.
Morgan Freeman is.
Yeah.
Or the president.
Or the president.
Depending on which movie you're watching.
Whichever one you want.
He's... Or prisoner.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
Right. Or chauffeur.
Chauffeur, right.
But I don't talk bad about him.
You don't?
No, I'm afraid of him.
I like Morgan Freeman.
I do, too.
I like him a lot.
And I like Zach Braff.
And I love that he has the stones to date his own granddaughter. I love that about Morgan Freeman. Most of us would not have the guts to do that. Yes,
it's
true.
Wait, that's true?
Yes. Yes, it's true.
His real life granddaughter or step-granddaughter?
Remember when his wife, that whole thing a couple of years ago, his wife found out?
Barely.
In a car accident. Isn't that how it was discovered? They were in a car accident
together?
Right,
that's right.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep.
I wouldn't have thought we'd use that. It all started a long time ago with my granddaughter.
Vince Vaughn has signed up to co-star with Will Ferrell in an upcoming movie called Daddy's Home. Will Ferrell is going to play a mild-mannered radio exec. He should come here and check out our executives to see how they ask.
There's no mild-mannered here.
Kevin is rolling his eyes right now.
That would be good.
That's going to be great. We heard years ago, Stryker, and I still can't believe this, but everybody starts somewhere, that Will Ferrell's a big K-Rock fan, always has been. He's always been great to us, our show, and our station. But he used to come see Kevin and Bean when we used to do nightclub appearances in the OC back in the early 90s. Will Ferrell was one of the guys who was there.
It's just so crazy for
me to think about that.
Bitchin'. Curious about your nightclub appearances. Yeah. What was that about?
We used to do that. Song and dance. We did a little soft shoe.
It used to be K-Rock's Kevin and Bean are going to be spinning at this club or whatever, or, you know, giving away prizes or whatever we do. You know, like you do sometimes. But, yeah, we used to do that. Will Ferrell apparently was a regular. So
Bean, you remember when we got caught by the police peeing outside the nightclub?
I do.
At the Bushes.
I do remember that.
Both of us peeing side by side.
Did you guys get tickets?
No, he just said stop it.
Bean, I think he thought more was going on. Stop.
Was it those nightclub appearances that drove you out of the city, Bean?
It might have been. It might have had something to do with it, yeah.
All right. Thank you guys so much for having me on this morning. I love coming and being on the show. The vibe is so good. Everyone that works on the show, I really have fun here. So thanks for continuing to have me do the show, Bean. I
appreciate it
so much. Thank you. Celebrating a birthday today. Chris Berman from ESPN is 58. Bono is 53. Danny Carey from Tool is 52. Young MC, 46.
Next day's function. High class luncheon.
Food is served in your so-called munching.
Music comes on. People start to dance. But then you ate so much.
You nearly split your pants.
A girl starts walking.
Guy starts talking.
Down next to you and start smoking. Says she wanna dance cause she likes to groove. So come on, fatso, and just bust the move.
Yep. Richard Patrick from Filter is 45.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Is that not the part we're singing? Sorry.
Good job, Kevin. I love that. I love that you just did that. You know what? I will film you more in the bathroom because of that.
Let's not do that anymore.
Keenan Thompson is 35. Odette Annabelle from Cloverfield is 28. Go Kings tonight.
That's right.
I am Stryker, and I have ruined the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Stryker. Glad to have you.
I get to sing the song.
Everybody have a great weekend. We'll see you on Monday. We have pit tickets and backstage passes for the K-Rock Weenie Rose 2013.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
He's here.
Bitchin'.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Oh, yeah, that's so terrific.
Roll another one.
Stroke it.
Just like the other one.
It's like orgasm.
This one seems to be a box quit.
That's racist.
And I need another hit.
You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on the world famous K-Rock 106.7.
Servant, Lisa. This one seems to be a mountain.
I got a taco right here.
I don't have another cent.
Okay, guys, hey, guess what? You just got blamed.
Yeah!
What is sadomasochism?
Just pass it around.
B-hole has it over the A-hole for sure.
But don't bogart that joint.
You don't know, man, because you weren't there.
I'm just passing on down.
You know, Sam, there's only one way to end a perfect day.
What's that?
Flash jump.
Right. One, two, three.
Yeah!
It's not over till I say it's over, ladies.
Normally, I would say auf Wiedersehen. But since what auf Wiedersehen actually means is till I see you again, and since I never wish to see you again, to you, sir, I say goodbye. Let's go.
Screw this. The rest of you can stay here like dorks, but I'm going home.